The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that? Someone made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head.
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, Dick, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, and nobody can hang with my stuff. You know, I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Shut up in here. I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked in the mouth.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, driver! Drive
me! Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were shellfish together, Andy. You got payback coming.
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Matchbox cars?
Yeah!
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
I guess it's time to do a show, and welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium, getting a little touch of winter in the area, a little snow, watery, wintry mix. Rain, sleet, snow.
Like it.
You like it.
Driving in. I like when you look in the trees are just a little white.
Yeah, I don't need it.
I don't need it.
I'm with you, Andy.
So
I
they moved
it.
To Florida.
Yeah.
Why do you live here? If you don't like the seasons and the
alternative.
It's a good
question. I'm a grown man. I can go
yeah,
where I
you're
want.
You're a grown-ass man. You
know? Right. Why do I have to stay here if I don't like the winter?
You don't. And especially now.
It's yeah. the holidays.
You got the kid out of the house.
Snow.
He can fly home right. from school wherever you are. So,
right. I guess I could do this job remotely. All right.
You can barely do it here.
I was going to say something like, you don't do it remotely well now.
Probably a little cold. Look, another. He's got a fancy zippered up warm-up jacket going on.
I have my uniform underneath.
Oh, okay.
I'm ready for TV. It's just cold.
Yeah.
It's cold.
Eric's got a little crew neck sweater on.
Andy's in it. Andy and Fred are in T-shirts.
I know.
That's right. We're fur-bearing animals.
Well, they're men.
Yeah.
What's with the Fu Manchu you got going on?
Like that? It? Movember.
No, he didn't say he liked it. He asked what it was.
Yeah,
it was
he was smiling a little bit.
Hey, he's laughing at you.
All right, webradio@pitches.com is the email address.
But are you? How does that work?
398
yeah,
is the ace ticket line.
I signed up, and I'm part of the organizational team, and you have to go out and post on Facebook and this, that, and get donations toward your cause, and you post a picture like every 3 or 4 days of how it's growing in, and people laugh at you, and it is what it is, but it all goes towards men's cancer and health awareness, so it's for a good cause.
So this is our version. When we were complaining about no blue ribbons and blue cleats, light blue, this is our version. Right?
Our version of what?
Cancer awareness and cancer
the,
support.
The pink thing.
You know how they do
October.
All pink, and we talked yeah. about baseball does
right.
pink and blue.
Right.
They have a certain yeah. Father's Day or whatever. They do the blue bats and the blue gloves and the blue balls. We don't do that. I don't really understand that. The most masculine league in the world.
Well, this is all veterans stuff we're doing right now in the league.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. You know? So.
I guess veterans are mostly men.
We didn't do anything in our last game. We didn't have that salute to service thing in the end zone. Or
no, we didn't.
We had a lot of Army guys there.
Yeah, but we didn't have the little...
But we didn't have the thing in the end zone and the...
The camouflage different
no.
stuff.
No, right. we didn't have all
None
that.
Of the cami.
No.
Cami yeah. equipment.
Yeah, but there was certainly a tribute to.
Are we
going to
have that? Denver game?
I don't know.
Prime time?
I don't know.
It's past Veterans Day now.
Well, I didn't know if it was like the whole month or something.
I think they usually do it in the games leading up to normally.
All right, so guys, we're getting yeah. ready for the Carolina Panthers going down for a Monday night game. Tom Brady says there's nothing better than playing on Monday night football. So he's psyched. He said he's psyched to be back
Why?
From.
It's so cliche, all that stuff. They pretend like it's like the 1970s and people only see you because you're on Monday Night Football. Everybody sees everything.
No, but you are the only team playing at that time,
yeah, whatever.
Which is kind of neat.
Same is true on Sunday night.
It's now.
And that's actually the good games. Yeah. Although this one, Wilson Hart Power Index, we got a 4-5 matchup here.
Is that right?
Very exciting. Yeah.
I noticed.
I have a question.
Yes.
About this game.
Yeah.
Given the result of Carolina's game in San Francisco this weekend.
Yes.
Big win for them on the road. They're coming home on a high. Do you feel better or worse about New England's chances going into Carolina on Monday night?
That's a good question.
Worse.
It's a good question. You feel worse because now they have some confidence.
I think they are a dangerous beast right now.
Yeah.
See, a cat that's ready to kill.
Our friend No Sox takes the opposite approach, saying Carolina's going to be drunk on the big win and isn't going to be as prepared this week.
I would argue the difference
is New England is coming off a bye.
I think if it was...
And drunk off a big win, that wasn't all that big.
I think
their big win was actually impressive.
You know, I think if it was another team that, you know, hasn't had the success of the Patriots, I think that would apply. But when the Patriots come to town, it's always, you mark that off. And I think it's always a challenge on your schedule. And I think you get up for it.
And at home. I mean, this is a 1-2 punch for them. They can stamp themselves.
They don't get on Monday night very often.
But they can stamp themselves as a truly elite team in this league this year. If you go on the road and beat San Francisco and then go home and beat the Patriots on Monday night.
Yep.
You've stamped yourself. You're legit.
I agree.
You're here to fight. You're a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, so and I would be definitely looking at it as that type of game if I'm Ron Rivera and, you know, making it like a, you know, a Super Bowl type of thing.
So you feel worse about New England.
I think they're ready to fight. Swagalicious.
Undecided right now, Fred?
Just a heart attack.
I'm just as concerned now as I was last week. I'm much more concerned as I was at the beginning of the season.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
But as terms of this week to last week, I'm just as concerned.
So you thought it was a must-win last week and a must-win this week.
It's a push, yeah.
Aren't they all must-wins?
No, he thinks this is a must-win.
Because he's expecting
a two-game losing streak.
I threw out the question. I don't necessarily think that. I threw out the question, is this kind of a must-win? Because if you lose this game to Carolina, now you're faced with the Broncos coming to town. Which, let's be realistic, could be chalked up as a loss.
Well, might be without their coach and quarterback.
Well, I was just going to say I'm watching SportsCenter highlights, and I turn on the television, change it to Channel 30, and the first thing I hear is Chris Berman saying, big win for Broncos go 8-1, but of course everyone's worried about number 18. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me.
And even something if he
why do you guys get surprised? I don't understand why this would take you by surprise.
I wasn't surprised.
Always
that is the
works
whole thing.
Out
I was just saying,
Bill and
it's
Tom.
Unbelievable.
Right, so this was fortuitous for the Patriots, but it wasn't fortuitous for the Chiefs, who actually play them this week.
Right. Oh, it's fortuitous for them, too.
Well, right. No, this week is where Justin Houston finishes the job.
Exactly.
The wounded animal, he comes in with a spear and ends it.
But I understand that it's okay, he's fine, right?
I don't know. I mean, he might be Fred fine, but he's not fine.
He's Fred fine,
but
which was Gronk in mid-May, three surgeries in.
He's not a guy who, like, oh, now he won't be able to run around.
Fred, but it's still, you need your legs as a quarterback to throw the football.
We saw,
I mean, what better example than RG3? It's not that he can't run. It's that he's not throwing the ball the same way. Maybe now he's starting to get a little bit more his legs underneath him. But he was not throwing the ball with proper mechanics because of his knee early in the year. It affects everything.
And Griffin wasn't running the way he ran.
No, he wasn't. But that was part of his game.
But that was also part of the plan.
But we also know that Manning wants to get rid of the ball quickly. He's skittish as it is. Like Brady.
Yeah.
I mean, these franchise QBs know.
That's how he keeps from getting sacked.
Right. Nothing good happens when I hold on to the ball. So now it's even more in the forefront. And Paul's right. If you're trying to throw off the wrong foot or you don't have quite as much zip on the ball, that leads to a flutter. And all of a sudden it's a pick. And I mean, there's a lot of effects. It's not just, wow, he can't run now. He doesn't run, so it doesn't matter.
Well, we'll see. I mean,
just the issue that he's getting hit more. And now he's banged up, and he's going to continue to get hit more going against two teams in consecutive weeks in the Patriots and the Chiefs that can get after the quarterback a little bit, that have a decent number of sacks, especially the Chiefs that are going to come after him and try to get him.
And twice in 3 weeks, by the way, they play them. I think the point that I wasn't necessarily criticizing you for thinking that there was a chance that they could lose. My only question to you is, okay, let's just say that the worst case scenario unfolds and they lose two. So what? They lose two in a row. I mean, I have full confidence that they'll win the last five if that were to happen.
It's just bad for me.
No, listen, it's not ideal. I'm not suggesting that they should just not worry about
this. The season isn't over.
I think these games are important because I think that they tell you a lot about yourself. I think that there are so few good teams in this league that the rare times that you actually do face a team that's pretty good, I think they are measuring sticks, and I think they are important. And I think if you want to be a contender, you can't lose them both. You need to find a way. You know, they beat the Saints. That was a good win. But if you were to lose, if you were to lose to Carolina and Denver, don't you then go back and look at that Saints game and say, "And geez, they were really kind of lucky to win that Saints game." Conversely, if you beat Carolina and Denver, you look at it and say, "And we beat the Saints too. Yeah, we were a little lucky, but we beat all three of them. We could beat anybody."
Sure.
You know, that's, and I think there's a big difference when you head into the playoffs with your mindset. And let's face it, they're going to the playoffs and they're going to get a bye in the playoffs. And that's why.
You really think so?
Oh, I think it's a lock. That's what my commentary is about.
Okay.
I think that you look at the way that the.
Wait, you think it's a lock for them to get a bye?
I think it's virtually a lock at this point, yeah.
Because you think the Broncos are going to take care of the Chiefs both times and that'll negate.
Well, either way, they've got a bye right now.
No, I know. It's the Colts and the Bengals that you have to worry about, and they're both stumbling.
Right.
So,
but I mean, Denver or Kansas City will pull ahead and secure probably the number one spot.
Oh, I don't care about that.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
All I care about is a bye. I don't care if it's 1-2.
All you have to be is.
I mean, I want it to be
your division and having a better record than, like he said, the South in the North.
And the Colts lost at home by 30 points to a terrible Rams team playing with a backup quarterback. And the Bengals absolutely just melted down in overtime after getting a gift.
Right.
These are the teams, you know, are these the teams that are really supposed to contend for a bye? No, they're not going to.
Yeah.
They're not going to. And I think even if the Patriots lose the next two games, they're still going to get the bye. Worst case scenario, they'd be one game behind the Colts and even with Cincinnati.
But just to look in the standings and see the Jets tied.
And
if
by the
they
way, those two teams play each other in December.
Oh, it will be very difficult for me.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
It matters to me.
I understand that.
It matters in my heart.
I understand the emotions of it, and I do understand the importance of beating good teams, Fred. We've had some teams here that have had gaudy records but really hadn't beaten anybody, and we didn't really think they were legit contenders. And when we got to the playoffs, we were right. They weren't really legit contenders. They lost to good teams when they played them in the playoffs, too.
Right.
So
that was back when they were good teams.
Well, that's part of what I'm talking about. Is, you know, I look at Denver, and I do think Denver's a good team still. Yeah. And I, you know, listen, I'm curious about Kansas City.
And so what's so
I don't know. I don't know if they're any good, but I'm curious about them.
Going into this Carolina game, what's more important to see for you? The offense perform well or the defense to perform well? Now, I think both have to perform well to win.
Offense, by far.
You think you want to see it because this is a real good test.
Yep.
Because you're talking about a team who, second in the league in points allowed?
Yep.
The Panthers. So this is a legit test
good
for
in
the
everything.
Offense.
Top what, two in you know, total, top three, top right. four, everything.
What you know, what we saw 2 weeks ago against Pittsburgh is will we see something like that against the Panthers? And no, of course we're not going to, but something like that. Will we see improvement on third down conversion? Will we see improvement with Dobson? Will we see the run game continue? I mean, these are all things that this is a great test for the Patriots, right?
Coming off a miserable test.
Out of the bye.
Yeah.
Let's see what this, you know, second half, quote unquote, is going to be like.
Yep. And there's a little part of me that has this feeling. This happens all the time where we're like these defenses that are really good statistically, and maybe I'm being too old school Patriots here, but and then we say, wow, Brady's just kind of picking them apart. They're having their way with them. And because of the fact that Amendola, Gronkowski, Vereen, I expect to be back, the weapons are sort of coming together, there's a little bit of me that thinks that the Patriots are going to go down there and tell them, we're still the Patriots and you're still not in our league.
It could happen.
But I definitely have a fear that there's also the other, that the Patriots got false confidence going against Dick LeBeau's, you know, no-nonsense, no-cover defense, and they're going to get their eyes open by a legit defense that can get pressure, that can cover, that can do everything they want to do.
I think that's where the bye week helps out New England, because that game almost seems like it was a month ago, that Pittsburgh game. And now you have the Monday night, so you have the extra day to prepare for this team.
You know what they say about Bill Belichick in 2 weeks?
Yeah.
You lose the Super Bowls.
No, but I mean, you can put that Pittsburgh game out of your mind, I think.
Right.
It's tougher if
Well,
if
they you, should.
No, but I know, but I'm saying coming off a bye, it's a lot easier to put your last game out of your mind because it seems like it was so long ago in the NFL calendar. Whereas if they had just won that game on Sunday night, this past Sunday night, it plays a little bit more of a factor, I think, in your mindset preparing for your next team.
By the way, it's going to be announced at 1 o'clock that the Patriots in Houston game is going to be flexed out of a 4:25 start into a 1 o'clock start.
It's good for us, guys.
Love it.
Sunday at 1.
Nothing like Sunday, 1 o'clock road games, Andy. I was telling Fred.
You heard it here first. Don't tell me that we never break news. We just did. And I'm going to be fired.
And moving to Florida because he doesn't like the snow on the
Central kickoff for us?
Yes. So
on that sloppy field.
Yeah. I can understand that move by the networks.
On homecoming day, right?
I was watching the Colts game, and I was actually talking about that with my buddy Mike Reese. It looks just as bad as ever. Reliant Stadium, and I love that stadium. I think it's the best.
Unreliant,
but the field looks terrible.
Homecoming, you know, gonna get their butts whooped.
They take them out.
They take them out,
and they're
moist.
If they're moist, well, no, if they go back in moist, then the humidity comes in.
So you want it to go back in hard.
You want to go in hard. You know, so I just don't really
understand how they haven't fixed the seams. It seems that the seams are the biggest problem.
Yes,
and I don't really know why. Yeah. I don't know. In this day and age,
why are there seams? It's a grass field,
and you should, and because there's trays, but seems like they should be able to fix it.
If not for those seams, maybe Wes Welker would still be here because of the butterfly effect.
I think that could be true. He would have held out after that season, looking for a new deal.
He would have gotten one.
He may have gotten it, and he may still be here.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting way of looking at it. Good, Fred.
Mm-hmm. All right. Web radio at patriots.com.
Every once in a while, he's got a little something.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. 855-PATS-500. We do need to mention this Rob Gronkowski video that surfaced.
Is this a big deal?
We do. Is it a big deal?
I just think it was stupid. Just Rob Gronkowski being a dummy again. And, you know, it's just stupid.
Not just Rob either.
Is he?
I saw at least one brother.
Well, yeah.
But has he reached Andy territory?
We don't care what they do. What?
Has he reached Andy territory? Where, you know, when we're in the office, Andy's like, I can say that. I mean, everybody knows that's what I am now.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean now. Yeah. Is he at the point where he can almost say or do anything?
Is he certified by the HR department? Is he?
No, it was just dumb. And I'm sure that.
Where was it? Was it like a karaoke in a Chinese restaurant?
It was in Foxborough.
Was that Bar Louie?
Oh, Bar Louie. Yeah, Bar Louie.
Really?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and what was he doing?
I don't know, some sort of event, and
it was a watch party. They were coming to watch the Saints Dallas game, right?
Oh, was that right? I don't know.
And you could, if you pay the admission price, it was like $87 symbolically. You get like dinner or drink, a picture with Gronk, and you get to watch the game with.
So that's the issue. He just needs to learn to say no once in a while.
Really?
We're going to offer you $4,000.
Yeah.
Well, do I really need $4,000?
Why don't you go across the street and sell some cars while you're at it?
Right.
I mean, that's, do you really need the money that bad?
Line, yeah, just
Didn't
say
he already
no.
do that?
Just yeah, he's a Ford guy. I mean, yeah. Just say no. Yeah. In a related note, look for Andy Hart's hard-hitting interview with Rob Gronkowski on Comcast.
Okay.
They won't have any of this mentioned.
Nope.
But
I might like say, what'd you do on your bye?
Yeah.
Hopefully he won't bring that up because then I'll have to say, cut, we'll do take two.
Wait till the end for that question.
but it's
true, Rosenhaus taught me
it's
that.
It's just dumb. And, you know, I'm sure the person that was there didn't seem like he was offended, so I don't think anything's going to come of it. But I think internally, I'm sure this has reached the higher levels. I think he should be scolded in some fined or whatever
again.
Internally.
Again.
Yeah. The problem with those things is it doesn't matter if the person was offended because someone would be offended for him. That's the world we live in.
But I think whether or not anyone was offended is my point. I think internally they should let him know this isn't right.
I was somewhat offended. It wasn't really that funny. At least be funny if you're going to
offend
people.
I saw the tweets that people were sending us, and I appreciate those, by the way, because I hadn't seen it. And I was like, oh, God, what did he do? And I saw it, and I was like, that's it? I really thought it was kind of a big deal, but you know, you guys know how I am. I'm not really offended by anything. I don't know. I don't know if it'll end up being just a ripple or it'd be a big.
I don't
thing,
think it'll be.
I don't think it'll be.
I don't think it's that big a deal.
But I do think the team internally should.
Maybe they have.
Yeah,
maybe he just like, no, whatever. I'll do
I
what
think
I want.
They should, if they have, I think that was the right move.
Although to be fair, if this is the worst that comes of your bye week. He had a solid bye week.
We had a solid bye
team.
Week, yeah. Dwayne Bowe just got stopped
you can have a lot
with marijuana.
Worse. You can have a lot worse.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Manning wins like Brady, you know, at least in the regular season. You know, they win a lot of games. So they have some good fortune, too. You got to consider the Dwayne Bowe thing is one of those things. Just happens to work out for the Broncos.
Right, right.
I got to be fair here. I mean, come on. Yeah. What are the odds?
Yeah.
It happens to be the week they're playing the Broncos.
Yeah.
What an idiot.
What else do we have to talk about? We mentioned at practice that Gregory was not there.
Steve Gregory, the only player not there.
Despite erroneous reports from other media outlets who have since cleared it up.
Ninkovich was there.
Yes, he was. Suited up. Yeah. Everybody else was there. Brandon Bolden, who we had that famous discussion about last week, was back on the field. No worse for the wear, it seems.
But with Gregory,
I never got the update on
how
that,
big a deal is that if he doesn't play?
Well, I think it hurts you a little bit. I think it hurts you because he and McCourty have formed a nice foundation back there this year. They're mm-hmm. playing well together. Their communication is well. He was your signal caller with the green dot. So
Greg Olsen is a co-top target, sort of, for Cam Newton.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not a huge, he's not Jimmy Graham, but he's a guy you need to sort of match up with. And if you don't have Gregory out there, and that means more Harmon, mm-hmm. I'd have some concerns as to how that's going to work out.
I might have the green dot this week.
Well, that's the thing I wonder about now is because they gave it to Gregory because they were comfortable taking Hightower off the field in sub packages a lot. And so they knew Gregory was going to be on the field. Do they give the dot back to Hightower? But that means keeping him on the field in sub packages.
I'm sorry. If Dante Hightower doesn't stay on the field this entire game, then he is much closer to bust.
Well, that's my next question. Well,
much closer to that.
Does the Carolina offense lend itself to Hightower being on the field?
It's a run-based offense that has a pretty productive tight end and a quarterback who likes to. I want my athletic, versatile linebackers in theory on the field.
Right.
If he's not on the field, then I'm sorry.
You kind of want him. You want Hightower. Would he be a spy on Newton? You think?
He'll never catch Cam Newton.
Yeah, I think that'd be a mismatch.
Like
he can barely cover running backs, and
if you're
going to
spy him, I think Fletcher might be a better option.
Yeah.
Or maybe Collins even.
Yeah.
Collins
probably.
Dante Hightower will, I mean, you'll see him just chasing. And it'll be 3 yards, then 4 yards, then 5 yards.
Well, you got to keep him in front of him and take the right angles.
Yeah. You have confidence that he can do that?
Yeah. All right.
I love when you don't really want to criticize people. You just go, yeah, make a noise. Otherwise, who are you going to give it to? Who's the dot man?
What about McCourty?
Could be.
Yeah, could be McCourty.
I don't really know why it wasn't McCourty last time. When does McCourty come off the field?
I don't know.
Guy also wasn't named a captain at the start of the season. He's a substitute captain.
He's really fallen out of the favor of the head coach, huh? Chandler Jones, and he comes off some.
Yeah, but it's tough to do that in the front line, isn't it?
Yeah. It should. And McCourty, I would say, is the most logical option if it's not Hightower.
Yep. All right, so I'm excited about this game coming up. In a way, it stinks. I hate having to wait through the whole week to play the game. I don't like Monday night games, honestly.
Why?
Playing.
Everybody's watching.
I just don't like
night watching
games.
Luckily, you don't play.
Yeah, well, I kind of do. I'm as close.
I just don't like night games.
I'm as close to being in the game as you can come without being in the game.
Yeah, it gets a little embarrassing in the visiting press box when he's throwing tantrums.
It's a little embarrassing in the home press box.
I got to be honest with you. I don't think Fred's even close to the most embarrassing member of the press box.
It's
not all local. There's a lot of noise in the press box at inappropriate times.
Mm. Yeah.
There's a lot of reaction to plays in the press box that shouldn't be.
Oh.
And not that I'm like one of these crusty guys like, no, JR, I don't, whatever. I'm emotional. I say things too.
Right.
But there's a lot of noise in the press box.
People
that
are
shouldn't
there.
Be.
They're having fun. It's like cocktail hour.
They're not drunk. They shouldn't be having that much fun.
No, but Paul's
It'll
right.
Work.
I mean, you guys haven't been on the road for years and years, but,
and loving it.
But it does get a little embarrassing at times, and really it's the press boxes that allow the old timers in there, the guys that really aren't working anymore, but they've been around the team for generations, so they're still in there, and they're the ones slamming the table and yelling. There's that guy in Buffalo that sits behind us.
Yeah, that you wanted to punch out after the.
I wasn't gonna punch him out.
You came close.
Really?
When he said, "Take that, New England!"
Somebody said, "Take that, New England!"
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
When they beat us in when was it? 2 years ago,
right?
Oh,
and right. That streak was broken.
To fight
him? Oh yeah. Fred turned around and was like, "I was like, thought I was going to."
Well, the guy was like 90.
He was,
so, but
and you could have taken him,
and you still were going to hit him.
No, I wasn't.
You almost hit a 90-year-old man.
What are you, Borges?
But yeah, it's just annoying. It's annoying. So.
And it's not just, it's not just the home time, home crowd. Because we get that row in front of us that's often like main visiting media.
Right.
And they say a lot of stuff that's stupid, annoying, loud, whatever. I mean, through
They have their inside jokes and they travel all together.
I remember specifically this year when Kenny Stills caught that touchdown to put the Saints ahead late in the game, there was a audible reaction, you know, of positive, you know, and I was like, what? I go, what is that?
Right.
You know?
Fantasy
team. Just weird. Yeah. I got him on my fantasy.
Right. I got Breeze on my fantasy team.
Well, speaking of fantasy, did you see the Come On Man last night?
No.
What's his name? Chris Carter hit it right on the head. They had a guy. It was the Bears game. And they had a guy in the end zone. I don't know who. It's some worker. And he had a Bears jacket on. Megatron catches the touchdown. And he gives the touchdown signal, and Chris Carter's like, hey, come on, man, it's not fantasy, this is real.
Well, maybe he had him on his fantasy.
Exactly, he hit the nail on the head. The guy must have had Megatron on his fantasy team, and he's got the Bears jacket, he's going, touchdown. It's ridiculous.
Actually, that one. I mean, I could see if it was like Tampa or some random team, Jacksonville, but right. Bears, Lions. Yeah.
Right.
I know, it's a division opponent.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah. All right.
Playoff seeding at stake.
Right. It's like us, somebody doing it for wearing a Patriots jacket and Jets touchdown. Woo!
Imagine Fred.
Luckily, the Jets don't score.
So. If that was a Jets 90-year-old guy, you would have hit him.
Let me tell you something. Back when Parcells had just left, he was the Patriots coach and he had just left the Jets, we played the Jets, and when the visiting team, I don't know if we still do this, but when the visiting team comes to Foxborough, We used to give them some of our like ball boys to help out on their sideline.
Yeah, that's still done.
So they work for us, but they would work for that day. They're working for the other team. And after Parcells beat us here in Foxborough, I was watching the tape, and I saw guys that work for us on the Jets sideline like yucking it up and all this high fiving, and I wanted them fired.
Did you tell on them?
No, but I was thinking of it. I was so mad. So mad. You know, again, you know, you have to separate yourself in, I have to be part of the winning. Screw that.
Whoa. No F-bombs here.
Well, it just really, really made me mad. And right there on video, they're yucking it up. And I was like, oh.
No question.
Bastards.
If that was a 90-year-old guy in the Jets press box, you would have hit him.
Yeah. These were young guys.
No question.
I was just so mad.
All right, we ready?
See, I hate the Dolphins like you hate the Jets.
Why do you hate the Dolphins?
I always hated Miami. You can never beat them.
Marino?
Can never beat him down there, even before Marino. Shula, mostly. I hated Shula.
Yeah.
I mean, I respected him, but I hate him.
Right.
If that makes any sense.
Good restaurant chain, though.
Mm-hmm.
I was like Larry
Zonka.
Nice
guy, too. I've had a chance to, I mean, not to pull a Ben Volen here and say I talked to him, because I've never talked to him, but I've been in press conferences when he's talked. And Andy and I, you were at one with me in the Super Bowl one year.
Sure.
He was an engaging guy. He's an interesting guy to listen to.
How could you not like the combination of Larry Zonka and Mercury Morris?
No, that was before.
That was great.
Mercury Morris. Yeah,
even then I didn't like running the ball, Fred.
Oh, that was a great tandem.
Was he on coke?
Mercury Morris?
Mercury Morris, oh, probably.
Yeah. Like playing?
Anything else?
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, he had a bit of a drug issue.
No, I know. I didn't know when exactly it happened and didn't happen and how it came together.
And Larry Zonka, that's your kind of guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Scoring the touchdown and bouncing into the goalpost. You like that. In the Super Bowl? Super Bowl 7, I'll say. 8.
He and John Riggins.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I hated John
Why are you painting
Riggins
me
too?
To be a racist?
What does that have to do with what,
I like Bo Jackson, too, just so you know.
No, but they
Bo was my favorite of all time.
They weren't like that fullback type of running back, you know?
Yes, I'm a big fan of that. The tweeners, who really aren't quite good enough that they shouldn't be carrying the ball, but then you're impressed when they are carrying the ball.
They just wear people down.
Right.
Just boom, boom, boom.
Them's my peeps.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Chester's in Portland. Hey, Chester.
Hey, what's up, guys? Nice to be back in the mix. You know, nice to get a good week off, too. The vocal cords are definitely back in week one shape, and I'm sure you're probably feeling the same way. Paul, by the way, I'm with you. I hate the fish more than anybody, just from being a kid and growing up with that, so I hear you loud and clear on that. Guys, for a bye week, it almost felt like a winning weekend, seeing how the AFC panned out, right? I mean,
absolutely.
Fantastic shakedown. Cincy, indeed, our only other division opponent, you know, or a team that we're actually feel threatened by, lost again and is virtually imploding. Man, pretty sweet situation considering our team was idle and our positioning improved. Man, and I'll say, I'm officially not worried about Denver anymore. And I just don't think Peyton's going to last. I think this cold weather is going to work against him as far as healing. And I don't want to look too far ahead here, but, you know, I think we may have seen the best days of Peyton Manning this season. I'm just going on record by saying that, and I hope I'm right. But,
yep, you could be.
You know, I don't know how you feel about that. I'm sorry to keep rambling, but.
No, I think you might have a point. I mean, the state of their offensive line coupled with the bad weather, we might have seen, production-wise, the best we're going to see out of Peyton Manning already.
That doesn't mean he's not going to win.
No. But in terms
not
of production,
49 points.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to go by production of what he did in the first half, then I would agree. But I don't think there's going to be much of a drop off.
I just think he's such a obvious focal point
possibly
of that team succeeding. And if he you know starts to decline, you know those weapons aren't going to be nearly the threat that we're perceiving them as being right now. I just think he got hurt way more than they're letting on at the end of that game.
I agree with that. I think
think that? I mean, what
indicates he can't walk?
It's a high ankle sprain. I mean, guys, how many guys bounce back from a high ankle sprain at what 38 years old?
True.
I mean, I'm 37, and I'm telling you, if I had a high ankle sprain, it'd be out 6 months trying to get back.
Is that what it is?
Oh yeah, that's what he got in Jacksonville.
Yeah,
he got that against Jacksonville like a month ago.
The only thing I'll say is I wonder what they can do to him. I mean, he's as stiff as you can be anyway. Remember Marino at the end of his career? He would go back, and it's like nothing bent. It was all like just
straight.
Well,
he had the Achilles.
And after that, he never.
Yeah, you're right.
And I think Manning can get by with almost zero mobility. Almost zero, you know, almost just put a splint on that. Well, yeah, no question. They're going to, I mean, when you have a guy like Demaryius, forget Welker, obviously, underneath stuff, but when Demaryius Thomas can take a pass underneath and then just take it to the house, looking like one of those college players who's running faster than anyone else on the field.
And that's why
they can still play.
That's why I don't think the production is going to go in the toilet. Now, he can't possibly do what he did in the first half.
Right.
I mean, it's unheard of, but it's not going away either. It's
not
going
to go from great to crappy.
That's what I'm saying. He's still going to be great. He's just not going to be superhuman he was, seven touchdown passes in one game.
You still have all the same questions. The weather gets cold, Manning outside, Manning in the postseason.
Yeah, I think
all
he answered those for me last year. He was fine when it got cold last year and won the last 10 in a row or whatever it was.
Until he continues and wins a Super Bowl or goes to a Super Bowl, he's going to have it's no different than Tom Brady. Paul thinks Tom Brady can't play
in
January.
No, I don't. Do I think the Patriots can't win because of Tom Brady? No.
Well, the statement
not.
You're most associated with is Tom Brady can't play in the playoffs.
He hasn't played well in the playoffs. That's two different things. Can't play and hasn't played well are two different statements.
Well,
I've said he hasn't played well in the playoffs.
You kind of made it seem like you're resigned to the fact that he won't play well.
No, not at all.
Oh,
I have not said that.
Well, you're most associated with that statement.
I'm most associated with saying that he has been a big part of the problem in the playoff losses, and no one else wants to admit that.
Okay.
Well,
that's
I would
what
also
I'm
say,
most associated with.
And that may or may not continue. Is that your stance?
I mean, I don't know what's going to happen in the future, Fred.
Okay.
I don't know.
So you have
but
no
But Andy's
stance.
Right about Peyton Manning. He hasn't won the Super Bowl. He won one, and that was a long time ago.
Yeah. That was only because the Patriots screwed up because they should have
right.
won it.
Of course, it
That's
was
right.
longer ago that Brady Polian won it.
Running through the hallways going, the Patriots had their time. This is the Colts' time. Literally running down the hallway yelling that.
Patriots still say if that was a Jet,
down
goes Brady.
What?
Just let it go.
No, I can't let it go. No.
It's not healthy for you.
Well, one thing's for sure, we're going to know what we have by Thanksgiving. That's the adage we hear every single year. And coincidentally, we play Denver a couple days later. So, you know, I just think the writing's on the wall. I feel good about where we're feeling with all this time off. I know we're loathing this game being Monday night and this and that. But, man, it's more time for our guys to get healthy. It's been crippling us the entire first half of the season. I mean, you know, let's look at the long-term picture here. We're looking fantastic in the division. And, you know, I'm just looking forward to getting out there after Carolina. And on that note, you know, I'm so surprised that 5 minutes into today's show, we're already getting into Carolina. I mean, man, how much can we talk about Carolina this week?
This is a big game. We got plenty. This is a big matchup.
But, look, I'm just going to leave it at this. I'm sweating that front seven. I'm worried about this. And I know that we just don't match up on that aspect. What are we going to do in terms of offensive line preparation to really prepare for this pass rush? Because, you know, we got to get points on the board against this team. I'm convinced with them being at home. You know, that I'm going to leave it at that. That's my big worry this week approaching Carolina is how are we going to stymie that front seven because they're hot right now.
That should be
all right.
Your concern.
Thanks, Chester.
Anyway, take care, guys.
Thanks, Chester. Right.
Shane Vereen is the answer.
I have a plan to get Luke Kuechly involved in a sports gambling.
Well, his chances are he probably already did that.
Since being from DC.
Scandal? He did go to Gamble U.
Imbroglio?
Yeah,
I'm not really worried about him. I'm talking about more of the front. Starlutulele.
Yeah,
Ryan Wendell versus Talutulele.
Yeah.
Confuse me.
Yeah.
No, but Shane Vereen, I mean.
Easy, Gronk.
The old, what?
He just comes out with these random accents.
Does Vereen come right
Screens,
out and play?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be stunned if he didn't.
I'd be surprised if he didn't play.
Not just for, you know, seeing him on the practice field, getting him back out there, but everybody's kind of talked about it like it was a foregone conclusion. And I mean, like, McDaniels, Fears, like, people who matter.
Yeah, I think he'll play. I'm not sure he's going to have the impact that Andy
screens, draws all day long.
I'm not sure screens are a great thing for such an active group of linebackers, athletic and mobile group of linebackers.
Well, I'll tell you what, if they think they're going to line up and block them, then they're done.
They're not a huge blitzing team.
No, they don't blitz at all.
So I'm not sure that the screen is
huge. They stay home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see a good number of screens in this game.
You do?
Yeah.
I think you're going to see them spread out for sure.
I would too, because the weakness is the secondary.
Right.
You want to try to find the third or fourth cover guy on
but you need a little time.
In a bad secondary. Well, that gets the ball out quick.
Yeah.
When you spread it out, the ball comes out quick. That's
hopefully.
Yeah.
You know, like Andy said earlier in the show. Andy said earlier in the show about, you know, one of those things when you hear, and this has been on my mind too for a couple of weeks. You're going to get a lot of talk about Carolina and how great they are. And listen, you're not convincing me. This is one of my sleeper picks. But, you know, before the year, I picked them to make the playoffs. And defensively, they're very good. Offensively, they're not. I think if you can get to 20, you can win this game. That's sticking in the back of my mind, what Andy talked about, how in the old days, this would be the kind of team that you'd say, this is a great defense.
Right.
Watch Belichick just have him for breakfast.
Right.
And, you know, maybe it's spreading them out. Maybe
that's
it.
In the old days, you had an offense that I had faith in.
But do you have those
pieces
now? I
don't have faith in this offense.
I don't either, but...
I'm not just going to pretend that all the other bad didn't happen and the Steelers game was like...
Does one week cure everything?
I feel like we're going to start seeing press notes that since week 9 of 2013, and that was like the rebirth of the offense and everything's okay, well, I'll let you know Monday night. If they do something Monday night, now I'm going to say, okay, you got Gronk back, your weapons are back, you look better, you look different. But there's a part of me that says, it wasn't that long ago they were going 1 of 12 every other week on third down, and there's this team. That's what they do.
Excellent.
33% on third down. So it's a weakness versus a strength. There's a lot of issues at play that you could say, this is not a great matchup for the Patriots.
Right.
You lost your right tackle. Now you're going up against your best front. When earlier in the year, we were already saying, should Conley move? Does Wendell need to come out? Well, now you're down a starter against the best front, and you still have those concerns in the middle.
Yep.
Starlow Tulele. I'm joking, but I wouldn't be surprised if this is one of those matchups where you go, wow, Ryan Wendell physically. Remember Copen every once in a while?
Get
you know,
Chris Jenkins.
What's his name? Chris Jenkins would just bitch slap him, and he'd be 5 yards in the backfield. Just move him around like he was a rag doll. I have my concerns that could happen in this game.
Sure. Daniel is actually in Charlotte. Hey, Daniel.
Lucky Charlotte.
Hey, guys. How's it going? And, hey, Andy, every once in a while with Dan Copen, sweet Jesus, it happened every damn week.
Oh, no,
guy.
Not every week.
Either way. Hey, first of all, where are you guys at this weekend? What you doing? Where can I hook up with you?
We'll be at Bikini Sunday night. I don't have the address.
I really can't believe, out of all the places in the Charlotte metro area, that is the place where you have landed.
I didn't choose it. It's the local Triangle Patriots fan club down there that chose it. So I'm just going where they tell me to go.
Okay, very good, very good. Well, hey, I just want to let you guys know that I got a question about the linebackers. And I can't believe I'm actually agreeing with Andy, because that rarely happens. But
you're a smart man.
I remember when I got my first starter jacket in the ninth grade. I was so excited. It was Boston.
Were you with Eric when you bought it?
I wore it to high school back in 1993. So proud. And I was that excited when we drafted Dante Hightower. And now every Sunday, it just depresses the crap out of me because he disappoints me every Sunday. So my question to you is this. I've come to the conclusion that I'll never see him rush the passer as an outside linebacker, which surprises me. And overall, he's disappointed me. He makes the plays at times, but then he just has colossal failures. But seeing Dante Hightower this year makes me appreciate even more Spikes' performance this year. Because I know he can't cover, but, man, does he make some good plays. And 75% of the time, Brandon Spikes makes a good play. So I guess my question is more about Spikes, and then I'll let you guys answer it off the line. Do you guys see as maybe this season being a stair step for him to be re-signed by the Patriots? Because I think he's done pretty good. Thanks, guys.
All right, see
you. All right, Dan. It's going to be an interesting one.
I agree that if you ask me which guy does his job better, it's Brandon Spikes 1,000 times out of 1,000.
I agree.
But now you get back to our whole philosophical thing, the middle linebacker, the run stuffer. Do you need that? Does he want to be here? I think is a fair question.
I don't think he's going to be back.
I don't really either.
I don't either. I don't think he likes the confinement.
And we've also talked about if you move Hightower to the middle and he becomes that, okay, well, it's a busted pick as to what we were sold. But he might be fine in that role.
Right.
I mean, I think he probably would be.
And I don't really think there is, to his point, I don't think there's a huge difference between Spikes and Hightower and those other things, those other areas that Spikes supposedly can't do.
Mm. Right.
I don't think Spikes is a great cover guy, but I certainly haven't seen great coverage from Hightower. So
he gets caught flat-footed far too often.
Yeah, I don't think it would be a bad thing if it ended up being something like that, where you had to move Hightower inside.
Assuming Jamie Collins is now ready to play.
Right, and that's a lot of assumptions.
Just some news off the Twitter sphere. Ed Reed being released by the Texans today.
Yeah.
Released.
Yeah.
Thought that would be interesting.
Another home run for Felger and Maz.
Maybe some Gregory insurance. Bill can get his boy finally.
Yeah.
He can join Adrian Wilson in the golden parachute room.
He couldn't get on the field.
By the way, Adrian Wilson, did you see the photo? This is totally off topic, that he tweeted out a couple weeks ago in a boot.
No, I didn't see the photo. I saw
I couldn't really see it.
He had a walking boot.
What exactly
on.
It was.
Still?
Well, he went on IR with a hamstring injury, didn't he?
Right.
I am not a doctor.
Was it?
Bill Belichick taught me, but I don't think a walking boot cures a hamstring injury.
Maybe his rehab was a little,
I'm totally confused as to what happened there. But yeah, I just thought Patriots fans would eat that up. Ed Reed, potentially on the free agent market. And
what was his injury issue this year?
Well, this year, none. He's just
well early. I mean,
he's coming off surgery on his hip, but he was active, I think, in week two.
And he's been bitching,
and he hasn't played.
Hasn't he been bitching and kind of?
Yeah, he wants to play more, and he can't get on the field.
Yapping.
Why'd they sign him?
Why'd they sign Adrian Wilson?
His name's Adrian Wilson.
Well, but Adrian Wilson,
Freddie, you want Ed Reed?
He couldn't play it, and they put him on IR.
Right.
Why didn't the Texans just say?
Ed Reed being released by the Texans today.
I think they just released him. That's
the equivalent
of putting him on IR.
It's interesting because he had lost his starting job.
Yeah, but I'm talking about.
He couldn't really earn the starting job in the first place.
He had something to say about it, though.
That's what Andy said.
We're well into the season.
I think that's part of it.
No, I know.
They didn't wait that long with Adrian Wilson. Why did the Texans wait so long?
Because I assumed that they were hoping they would round
into shape. Plus, he wasn't on the field, so they didn't know that he wasn't.
Now, he's a veteran, so he doesn't have to clear waivers, or does he?
No, everybody has to
clear waivers. Everybody after the trade deadline.
Everybody has to clear waivers.
What was the contract?
But I would imagine he'll clear waivers.
I would think.
No one's going to pick up that contract.
A hurt.
That'd be something.
Overpaid.
Huh? A stiff.
Should we bring
him in? Would you take him?
Sure.
No. I think
there's another seat.
He's like, sure. Paul's like, no.
I didn't want him in
there's
the
another seat
because
in the
I saw
golden
him play
parachute
last year.
Room. Him and Adrian Wilson can play cards and collect paychecks.
Yeah, but see, you're not asking him to be Ed Reed.
I'm asking him to be a contributing player, and
he wasn't very good last year.
I think that there's a chance that Bill could sign him just because he loves him so much, and now with Gregory out, but I just don't think he'll be a contributing player.
Yeah. What's this?
Food. You got any Pepsis in there for me?
Oh, they had the Subway today.
Yeah.
Good.
The Subway?
Yeah.
All right. Should we take a break?
Okay.
Kevin? All right. Kevin's ready. We'll take a quick break. We do have a lot of emails coming in, and some of them look good. So we'll get to that right after this.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team. From Foxborough all the way to Miami, Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place, Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
When we played at Reliant in the Super Bowl, remember how humid it got
it
at the end of that
really,
game?
Really hot.
It was very humid, and the grass got slippery. Remember
but they
that?
Take that field out, you know.
In trays.
But,
yes,
but right. It stays out in the parking lot.
But if it goes in moist, it doesn't dry.
You're such a child.
I really am. I can't help it.
I thought it too.
No.
You got to make it. You didn't laugh out loud.
Parts of it will stay hard, and other parts,
Jesus,
will the end zones were soggy.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. Talking everything Patriots. Big game in Charlotte coming up. There was somebody from Charlotte writing in, and here it is. Marshall writes in from Charlotte. He says he's been a big Pats fan since the old AFL days, grew up in Boston. I live in Charlotte now, and the game this Monday is big around here. It's more than the Panthers winning the Pats. It's more than the Panthers winning and the Pats coming to town. There's still a lot of resentment about the loss in the Super Bowl, and Panther fans consider this game the opportunity for payback. Good tickets are selling for $500 to $600 each. Some bars are having huge parties for the whole weekend. It's like the Super Bowl in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I've never understood that whole concept of payback for a championship game in a regular season game. You're not getting a championship if you beat the team that you lost to.
No, but it's
idiotic.
But it's not idiotic. It's fan. It's being a fan. And
what payback are you getting?
And the last time we played you, we beat you.
The last time we beat you, we won a trophy.
It doesn't, of course, make up for losing a
Super Bowl. I don't get that.
But it's some solace. Plus,
it was 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, Raiders fans are still upset about the Tuck rule.
Yeah, but if they win a game, it doesn't change anything.
You know? They're upset about a ruling.
But they still hate the Patriots because of it.
Exactly. They feel like they were wrong. So that's, right. If Carolina just lost the game to the Patriots.
If New England had beaten the Giants in Super Bowl 6?
Yeah, that's payback.
That's payback for the loss in 42.
Right.
Because it's in the championship game. It's the same opponent. Well, close.
Even that's not full payback.
Right. Well, yeah, still, at least you got your revenge.
But at least you can say, we beat you in a championship game. The Panthers would have to play them in the Super Bowl and beat them for them to get any sort of measure of payback.
Although I do think that is going to make for an interesting environment.
Plus, they did win the next game. And I remember, looking back at it, 2005, the last time we were down there.
The Mike Vrabel interception game?
Yeah, and that's exactly what they treated that as their Super Bowl revenge. I remember it pretty vividly. I think that's the last time we were there, right? 2005, and then 2009, they would come here, and 2013. Yeah, so that's the last time we were there. They won the game down there, and that was the Mike Vrabel interception, and he pretended he was giving the ball to a fan in the stands, remember?
And then he gave it back.
Typical Mike Vrabel fashion.
Great move.
Imagine that, me.
Nathan from the Southern California. One thing that I've consistently heard about the Panthers is that they have a good defense. I haven't seen one Panthers game. However, can you break down why their defense is good? What do you suppose the game plan will be on Monday Night Football? How do you think they will stack up? And lastly, Fred, being out in the Southern California, I'm pretty sure that I heard a thunderous shout of hell yeah from the northeastern area seconds after Peyton's lower limbs got landed on. Can you confirm? No, I don't root for injuries at all. I thought it should have been a penalty, honestly. The league came down and said they did look at it, that he actually hit him a little higher than the knee and then kind of slid down afterwards, which...
Hard to...
It's hard. I think they're probably right,
Not to
I have, as with most things, I think it's a dumb rule, and I don't think it should be a penalty, but they have that rule in, and to me, that was the definition of hitting a quarterback low for no reason. But I think it's a dumb rule, so I'm glad they didn't call it.
So what do you think about their defense? What is it that makes them so good? Andy says the front seven. You guys all agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. The secondary stinks.
Yeah, I think they have a good defensive line. They have linebackers that can run around behind them. Charles Johnson has sort of worked in anonymity as this budding pass rusher, 12.5 sacks last year, 8-ish this year. So he's led them the last 4 years. Nothing too fancy, I wouldn't say. I think they're a good, solid front seven. I mean, Dante's tone really swayed me when talking to him the other day. He just said, I forgot exactly, but whatever his tone was really like, whoa, that's a challenge type front seven. He was really playing them up, and it'd be interesting to see how this offensive line that's been so questioned faces that.
And they have a couple of guys in Kuechly and Thomas Davis. Blackburn's been hurt. But Kuechly is...
Yeah, it's Bilo's guy now, right?
Yeah, A.J. Klein.
A.J. Klein.
It's sort of like Bowman and Willis with San Francisco. They're very athletic, versatile linebackers that can play all three downs. And Davis and Kuechly do play all three downs. And listen, Kuechly, I was... he went to B.C., so I automatically didn't like him. But he's been a very good player. And
he's a tackle machine.
He's a really active guy, but he's a stat filler. He had a pick last week, I think, or maybe a sack last week at a pick earlier in the year. He's one of those guys that gets
three sacks,
crooked numbers in all the categories, and in addition to making a ton of tackles, he's a pretty good player.
He doesn't
come off the field.
Does their front seven get hurt make up for their secondary, or is their secondary good on its own?
No, their secondary is not good.
Yeah.
If Brady gets time, I could see him picking them apart. It's the front seven, and they're able to get pressure, like Andy said. They don't blitz a lot.
And that adds to your defense, obviously. When you have Davis and Kuechly playing a role in passing, especially Davis, who's a former safety. So, he's an athletic guy who, when you don't have to blitz, when you count on the front four, well, now you got seven guys roaming around the field.
Mm-hmm. What they did to San Francisco last week, now that's not a sophisticated passing attack, the Niners, and they've really struggled. But, that was just unbelievable suffocation. what they did to San Francisco last week.
Right.
151 yards.
I'm curious. On the road.
40-something passing.
Well, that's not good.
I'm curious to see what they do with Gronk, how they handle him.
I bet you they'll cover him more than Pittsburgh.
Probably. Yeah,
I'm throwing it out there. Yep.
My guess is they'll use a safety with Kuechly underneath. One of our emailers talked about that last week, and I disagree with the email because he thought that Kuechly would get. I don't think you can't cover him one on one.
Oh no, then it'll be another $150 for Gronk.
Kuechly will be bracketing with him, and I think that Gronk is going to get his catches because he's just too good. Yeah. But you know, if you can limit the deep ones down the seam for 30 yards that he seems to get every single game, that's your game plan. And listen, you want to talk about just things, you know, blueprint type stuff. This defense, the way it looks, falls in line with the defenses that have bothered New England.
Yep.
Right.
The guys that,
right,
you know,
guys
active,
get
athletic,
there without help.
Guys, yep, that can get there without blitzing, yep, and athletic, yep, cover guys that will tackle, you know, swarm to the ball and tackle. And you don't let them get the yards after the catch. This would be a tough task. Listen, some of these numbers that Carolina has, no doubt, are built up on a very, very soft schedule.
Oh, yeah. Just like Kansas City.
Yeah. I mean, this might even be worse. But they also did it on the road against San Francisco last week. And that, to me, was a validation that it's not just a product of the schedule. They did the same thing, by the way, in the first game of the year to Seattle, in a game that they absolutely should have won. D'Angelo Williams fumbled inside the 10 going in for the go-ahead touchdown late in the fourth quarter. Otherwise, they would have beaten Seattle, too.
I just want to throw it out there. I'll be leaving in a few minutes to go hopefully do my Gronk interview. I don't know if you guys or if the fans have any non-fried rice-related questions for Gronkowski. I'd be happy to pass maybe one of those along, so shoot them in real quick. WebRadioPatriots.com.
Michelle writes in, "Hey, guys, I'm a longtime listener. I love you guys. I don't miss any shows, so I must say during some games I might have become a little excited. And now during the game when I try and post something, it always says game day when I try. So I assume I have been a naughty girl.
Oh.
And Fred, you're blocking me. So this is where I'd like to apologize and tell you I won't say anything negative. I just got overexcited at times, and I have to calm down. I don't know if you remember me calling the show, but I did express it was tough living down here in Florida with Dolphin fans. And then to boot, my husband is one. So you guys are my lifeline during a game, and I love being part of the gang. Thanks for all you do, Michelle." Well, Michelle, you know, if you've been naughty, only you know for sure. So
wait, what is her problem, though? What says
I think
game
when she's
day?
Posting in the blog and the game.
On the curse words?
She might have been blocked. I don't know. I have no
Why
idea.
Why would you block her?
There are some Language, people that swear right? and stuff, yeah. and I do block them.
You posted a guy who said his dog took a poop.
Well, sometimes I
mean, this is not exactly a high class community you're monitoring.
Well, it can get very bawdy in there.
Bawdy. What a loser.
She's naughty with her bawdy.
Pat from Agawam, just a quick non-football related email for you guys. Thursday's show was probably the most entertaining show of the year so far. Between Paul and Fred's anecdotes, you probably have enough story time material for the next 3 years. Keep up the great work. You guys never fail to entertain.
That was a good show. Fred talking about beating women, who he's related to, or called his grandmother.
Yeah.
Let's see. Pablo in Mexico, a big game coming up against Carolina. After seeing them play San Francisco, I think that if we can stop the run, we'll win the game. How do we do it? I was thinking we go.
I agree.
Isaac Sopawa.
I was thinking we go 3-4 for most of the game, maybe keep a safety near the line of scrimmage. What do you guys think?
I think there's a lot of validity to that.
It's what we saw from Sopawaga last week or 2 weeks ago.
I think you'll see a lot of that, but that's certainly, I think, what the attack will be, but can you pull it off?
Yeah, and Gregory had been the safety that was playing a lot more closer to the line, even almost like as a linebacker sometimes.
Yep.
With his not being available.
Well, he might be available. You never know.
He might, yeah, but I'm assuming he won't be.
Plus, he's going to have that Tito Santana forearm ready.
With the club?
Oh, yeah.
I worry about that.
D'Angelo Williams.
I worry about one of these, you know.
Like Daron Harmon's going to have to step up maybe and
well,
do that.
I worry about the Patriots trying to get their third down situation straightened out, and all of a sudden, you know, they go 3-for-12 on third down. And on the other side, Carolina's going to be content to run the football and play defense if they're playing defense well early in the game, and you can't get off the field, and it becomes one of those 38-22 time of possession games, and you lose, you know, 23-10. Mm. I worry about that.
Yeah. Alex from Philly, last Thursday was one of the best shows ever. Storytime with Fred and the gang was classic. Peeling into the childhoods of Paul and Fred was very enlightening. It's all starting to come together. Anyway, not rehash the whole bullying thing, but is it wrong for me to be just a little bit happy that this debacle is happening to our division rival, the same team whose fans over a month ago declared that this was their year and have conveniently gone silent the past few weeks?
Yep.
Also, this upcoming game is going to be a tough one. The Panthers are the type of team that we have lost to this season. Paul, you just said that. Physical defense with a good running game and pass rush. Hope all the injuries have gotten better.
They have.
There's only one guy missing from practice, so that's a start.
Yeah, I mean, you're about as healthy as you're going to be at this point.
You're missing. Yeah.
I mean, well, and that's. I'm assuming that Tlaib and Vereen are back. You know, I think Vereen is, but I'm assuming Tlaib is too.
I would think Tlaib would be back this week.
I think Gregory is less of a concern whether he has to miss this game or not. I don't think that it's. I don't think he's a long term. I think he'll be back soon.
Peter from Maryland wants to know: does anyone have to be cut in order for Vereen to come back?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who do you think that'll be?
Maybe Jake Beckett. I'm throwing that out there because
he's still on the team.
He is. Well, he
yes.
is, but
it's a third round pick from a year ago, Fred.
He's been a healthy scratch lately. As you know, earlier in the year he was getting. He was at least being active, but he wasn't getting in the game on even on a rotational basis. Now he's back to last year where he's a healthy scratch every week. He's in his year two. He hasn't made the year two jump. He's fallen flat, and I think he's a candidate to be let go.
I think he could be a candidate.
Yeah.
Because they have.
Seemed like there's offensive linemen that could probably go back to the practice.
That Barker guy is always inactive, and then they brought Klein, and he was active.
Yeah.
So there could be an offensive line move.
Chris White. The linebacker,
he plays a lot of special.
He does, but I mean, they have
Josh
guys.
Boyce might have a hamstring injury that lands him on IR.
Or Tavon Wilson.
Tavon Wilson's a candidate,
although with the safety situation, if Gregory is out, you might need him for depth because if something were to happen to Harmon and you don't have
Laquan Williams,
Ebner.
Yeah, Laquan Williams is a guy that's
I mean, they have plenty of guys.
Last guy in.
Oh yeah, you don't need him.
Yeah, last guy in, first guy out.
Right.
Cole from Waterloo, did anyone see earlier in the year that Tom was frustrated after yet another incompletion and he punched the turf? When I saw that, I instantly thought he could hurt his hand. He didn't seem to have any problem the rest of the game, so I kind of forgot about it. Now that there's been multiple weeks of cameras zooming in on his hand, I remember the moment of frustration. I just wondered if you remember what game it was and if that's the genesis of the hand injury.
This hand injury was against the Jets.
Right.
The strip sack.
Yeah. I don't remember him punching the turf either. And, I mean, how hard did he punch the turf?
I have seen him do it.
Turf's pretty soft.
Or slap the turf.
Yeah.
But
if he was doing it against a bench or something, I'd be more worried. But the turf is pretty.
Well, still.
He shouldn't.
I mean,
that's his moneymaker.
Right.
He should do everything he can to keep that thing fine. But whatever.
Let's see. Chad from Douglasville, Georgia. I sent John Rook the same question the other day, but I would like to hear your input on who you think has the most potential with this team between Logan Ryan and Kyle Arrington. I'm biased on this subject due to the fact that I've seen Arrington do more harm than good for this team. It seems like he gets beat a lot. The one occasion that stands out to me most is last season against the 49ers, where he had a horrible game and, in my opinion, lost the game for us. If you remember, it was after Tom Terrific had one of his best comeback performances I have ever seen. I'm not sure exactly who the wide receiver was that Kyle was covering, but it was the very first play following Tom's comeback, and he just gave up on the coverage and got beat for a touchdown. I don't know why he was re-signed and was paid so much, because frankly, he's just not that good. I believe that Logan Ryan has way more potential to help this team than Kyle Arrington. And P.S., haven't they benched Arrington for Ryan on multiple occasions this year?
No. It happened once against the Jets, Andy?
Yeah.
Yes.
Second half of the Jets?
As a matter of fact, before...
Curley was bitch-slapping him all over the field.
Before Tlaib was out and Arrington was in his true slot corner role, he was doing pretty well, actually.
Yeah, the Curley one was the concerning one, because that's a slot receiver. That's the guy you should be making your $8 million to cover, is a guy like Jeremy Curley. And he was getting kicked around pretty good by Curley and appeared to get benched after that. Now, he's also had this groin thing where he's kind of dealt with it off and on for... like a month now. I mean, if you're going to go potential, was the question who has more potential?
Yeah.
It's Logan Ryan.
Yeah.
Because we know what Kyle Arrington is. He's at his best in the slot. He's going to get victimized a little bit on the outside. And I don't think any of us are in love with him. Maybe Logan Ryan can actually be a legit corner. I don't know.
Right.
We'll see. I've liked, you know, we've seen some aggressive plays from him. You know, certainly the blitzes coming off the edge, the pick that kind of got thrown right to him. But if you're going to live off the word potential, it's Logan Ryan.
Jeff in FLA, do the Patriots have a leadership council like Miami? It sounds like something that must create reasons to exist, not necessarily nor a good idea. We do, and I'm on it.
No, but they do. I mean, it might not be called a leadership council,
Captains.
But Belichick weekly meets with the captains.
Yeah, captains.
That's a leadership council.
But
that's what it's called.
Does Miami also have a captains?
I don't know.
I don't know if they have any differentiation, but I know that Belichick meets weekly with the leaders of the team.
And I believe when it was reported, he was part of the six-man leadership council. That's right. Called captains.
Right. And to me, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't call it anything because we don't conform. We don't do what the other teams do.
Well, no,
we don't,
it's captains.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we don't put the C on the thing because football's gone on for 100 years without those, Andy, if you don't know. You know, so whether or not we call it a leadership council or captains or we just say, hey, let's go meet and talk about, see what anything's bothering you. I know we do it because Bill talks about it all the time. Matter of fact, he says he talks to all the players all the time.
Except yesterday when he said, I can't talk to all the players.
I'm not giving you the conversations about that. Did you see this tackle last night? Dunk after his touchdown.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
What?
Donald Penn caught a little one-yard touchdown last night.
And he
went over he went over the goalpost.
That was legit.
Yeah.
Fred, did you listen to Belichick on EEI yesterday?
I did.
I thought it was interesting how much he wanted to sort of talk about the Miami thing.
Yeah. Stunning. That
didn't really say anything and said, I don't have an opinion because I'm not in place to have an opinion. But they were going to end the interview and he almost cut him off and wanted to keep talking.
Right, he did want to keep
talking.
Which,
that's rare.
But
on any topic.
It's very rare, but it also said to me, like, he must be leaving his press conferences with us and saying, really? These guys don't have anything to ask me?
Right. But also, he knows that the players listen, too. So it was another opportunity to reinforce
the player
whatever messages that he gives, you know, to say it publicly as well, you know. So I did note that, and
I also thought it was interesting. He's very much for rites of passage.
Yeah.
Now he's, you know, differentiated, you know, that it goes to ridiculous and you got to keep that whatever, but
right.
He's very much for things that are done that everybody has to do before they're part of a team.
Exactly.
He was very adamant about that fact.
Right.
Which I thought was sort of interesting. And he was also, not that I don't want to say he criticized Joe Philbin, but he clearly said, I deal with topics like this to start the year. We deal with them along the way.
Right.
If you see something, hear something, play. I think he would fall under my same belief that Joe Philbin was asleep at the wheel in a lot of ways here.
Well, I mean, did you, any of you catch Mike Tirico's interview with Ross, the owner?
No.
Boy, I've never heard a more rambling stream of consciousness answer than he gave, and it just shows me that it comes from the top.
Well, I mean, I've said that for a long time. Remember when they wanted him to fly up because they wanted him to see that Lombardi play, and you know, it's what I've always said. The dominance the Patriots have had in the East is phenomenally impressive, but on some level it isn't because it's a one-man race because you got clown shows in three other cities.
All right, 508-298-0398, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Christian writes in. He says that Denver is looking more beatable every game. I watched the Broncos-Chargers game last Sunday, and Denver just scored 28 versus a very mediocre Chargers D. Yes, 28 points is still a lot, Paulie, but relatively speaking, they're not as dominant as they were in the beginning of the year. Paul said that if the Broncos poop themselves and turn the ball over four times, the Patriots have a chance. I think that's not the case anymore. It's starting to seem like Denver is a lot more defendable on offense than we thought. I can see the Patriots holding them under 30, but just being plus one or plus two in the turnover battle. Denver turned the ball over once versus San Diego and were held to 28 points. And the Chargers aren't very good on defense. They let up 30-plus points to teams like Washington and Houston and 27 to the Raiders. I see the Patriots' D with Tlaib as significantly better than theirs. Not saying Denver isn't a good O, just saying that it wouldn't be crazy if the Patriots' D with Aqib Tlaib back managed to hold them under 30 without Denver turning the ball over left and right. What do you guys think? Can the Patriots' defense hold the Broncos below 30 in 2 weeks?
You know what I think.
You say no.
Not without three or four turnovers.
Okay.
Why do you look at me like
that? Do you have anything to add? No?
I mean, they had 28 with what, 12 minutes left in the third quarter the other day, and obviously they took their foot off the gas and ended up having to sweat it out at the end. It was a bad game by them. Yeah. I mean, I it's the first time they were held below 30 all year,
Let's say that everything – the Patriots' defense plays up to its potential. Could they?
I mean, under 30?
Yeah.
Barring turnovers?
Barring turnovers.
I don't see
everything,
it.
Everything falls in place for the defense, barring turnovers, though. But they make all the plays they need to make with the guys they have on the field.
I'm sorry if I'm not giving you the answer you want, but I don't think that they can.
Okay. I mean, that's fine.
But that doesn't mean that the Denver won't turn the ball over. They've turned the ball over every game.
Yeah.
They've turned the ball over a lot for an offense that scores as much as it does.
So
there's no reason to think that they won't turn it over against the defense that takes it away more than anybody else.
So they turned it over once against the Chargers and scored 28 points. I mean, if they turn it over once against the Patriots, could they score 28 points?
I mean, to me, no. But I think that was
so the Chargers' defense is better than the Patriots.
No, I think it was a fluke.
Oh.
I mean, can't that be? I mean, when you play 9 games and you score 40 or more in 7 of them, and then you get 28 with, 12 minutes left in the third quarter, and then you don't score again. What do you think was the aberration?
I don't know.
The first 9.5 games or the last half of the game? Which do you think was the fluke?
Maybe the Chargers, you know, did something really well in the fourth quarter.
Maybe they did, but I'm asking you a question. What do you think was the fluke?
Oh, definitely.
It's not like they held them down all game and really made Denver work at it, and they chipped away, and they barely got 28. They dominated for 2 quarters plus 1 drive of the third quarter, and then did nothing.
Why?
I think they just had a bad game, a bad half game.
It could be. And those, you know, when you get those intra-divisional games, things happen.
I'm not taking anything away from San Diego. They did it. But plus, I mean, okay, if they score 28 instead of 30, we're going to sit there and say, see, I told you.
Well, how many points do the Patriots need to score to beat Denver?
30. You got to get in the 30s.
In the 30s.
To beat Denver, Denver, you're going to have to score in the 30s,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And I don't eliminate that as a possibility.
Right.
They could score in the 30s. I don't think that they're going to beat Denver. But, you know, like I said, a lot of things can happen. They've already lost their coach since we already talked about this. Since we last talked about this and all the things that could happen between now and then that you laughed at me about. They've already lost their coach and have their quarterback hurt. So all it takes is, you know, one thing like that, and it can change things. Right?
Right. Like all the
It's hard to win without your coach and quarterback.
Right.
I don't think the Patriots won very much without their current coach and quarterback.
Right. You know, like if 3 of your starters on defense went on IR, it would be really hard to win.
Exactly.
Right.
Right.
But some teams do anyway.
Right. And God bless both of those teams for continuing to win. Right?
Right. Robin,
and one of them has been able to win more than the other.
Robin in Alaska, I believe Michelle's issue with curse words described a bug, not a block. Sometimes after you post or even upon entry, the top right post button will be replaced by a game day button. To resolve this, just click the game day button and then go right back to the live blog section. The post button should reappear after that. Rinse and repeat as needed.
So you didn't really block her.
I probably didn't.
That's good, Freddie.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. You had to block a woman?
I probably didn't. Johnny in L.A., devastating news to report, Freddie. A few days ago, I had to put my 13-and-a-half-year-old German Shepherd, Emily, down. She was with me since she was 8 weeks old, and over the past decade plus, there has been no better way to celebrate a Patriots victory than to exclaim, "Emily, the Patriots won!" as she looked at me like, "I have no idea what you're talking about, dude, but I'd sure love a treat." In all seriousness, though, I'd like to echo what many have said before by saying that the distraction PFW in Progress provides during less than ideal times, such as this one, is one of the strengths of the show. So thank you all in advance. All right, that's all I got. Go Pats. Win one for Emily. She was the greatest of all time. I hope so. I hope we can do that.
I'm sorry to hear about that.
Yep.
Peter King also, excuse me, wrote about losing his dog over the weekend. A lot of that going around.
Well, that's the problem with these pets. They don't last as long as
you get attached. Well, you know, 13.5 years for that one. I think Peter King said his dog was 14. So that's a lot of years for a dog. But I mean, that is part of the reason why I'm sort of.
You don't want to get attached.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really want to deal with it anyway. But
you have commitment problems?
I think at some point, at some point, my family's probably going to break me down.
Yeah.
Maybe when my boys are old enough to take care
of it. Now, what dog? What kind of dog would you get?
I have no idea. I don't know one.
Like
from
a bulldog?
Another. I don't know one from another. I really don't. I don't know the character. I mean, I obviously I know the different breeds,
right?
But I don't know the characteristics of one from another.
Would you want an energetic, wired dog, or one that kind of just lays around? You know, what kind of dog would you want? Small, big, medium?
I would like a medium-sized dog that's kind of in the in between what you described. I don't want just a bump in a log that never moves, but I also don't want a super hyper dog that's
right.
jumping all over the place and
right.
distracting me. Yeah, I certainly don't want a yapper.
Right.
But I'm never. If it's up to me, I'll never get a dog. But
so
I'm pretty
listeners,
sure, that, I'm pretty sure my kids are going to make
maybe
me.
We can get some suggestions as to that in between dog for Paul.
Like, yeah, I mean, you must know you're a dog guy. Why do you need the listeners to bail you out?
Well, because it's listener radio.
Like, I want a dog that you know. I mean, I don't really want a dog, but if I had to have one, that you know is going to be, you know, not necessarily chewing up the house and causing all kinds of mayhem, but I also don't want one that's just going to sit down in the corner and it's like no companionship at all.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
Looking forward to going out for a walk. You know, not like, oh, man, I got to go out now again.
Right. Indiana Matt. Richmond.
Indiana Matt.
Yeah, he's from Richmond, Indiana. I really enjoyed listening to your discussion of the situation in Miami last week. I thought you guys did a good job of treating a delicate situation with respect and intellectual insight. Kudos to all of you. Last week you had an email that brought up the topic of leaving early. One of you, I believe it was Andy, made the comment, you never know what you're going to miss. When the leaving early topic comes up, I always think of an Atlanta Braves game I attended in 2011. The Braves were trailing 7-1. And the family of four sitting in front of us that arrived in the second inning left after the sixth. Not only did they miss the Braves scoring five runs in the bottom of the ninth to win 8-7 on a two-out Chipper Jones walk-off home run.
Chipper Jones.
The home run ended up being the final home run of his career. I have been to a lot of sporting events, and this is my number one sports memory, even over the three Patriots Super Bowl wins. I'm so glad that I am not one of the people that left the game early. There have been lots of discussion about Dante's play this year. One thing that I've noticed is that he stands around a lot. It seems like he's waiting for the plays to come to him rather than being aggressive and making a play. Am I wrong about that? I'm not ready to give up on him yet, but I'm waiting for him to do something that makes me say he deserves to be on the field.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a little harsh that he deserves to be on the field. He's one of their best three linebackers, you know, with Mayo and Spikes. But listen, I've been underwhelmed. I haven't seen a lot of the versatility that we were sort of sold on, and I bought into. I have to admit, I was a huge fan of that draft pick and envisioning all the different things he could do, but I haven't seen a lot of those different things, not at a high level. Yeah. He can be out there as a cover guy, and he can be out there as a pass rusher, and he can be out there as a run stopper, but I don't think he does any of them really well.
Yeah, I
he's okay at all of them.
I think he's okay, and I think people are hard on him. Like they are in Gregory last year. I don't think Gregory was as bad as people thought he was last year. Stefan in London says, get a German Shepherd, Paul. They start off hyper as a puppy but mature with age and are great with kids. The only problem with German Shepherds is they all have that hip problem. As they get older, their hips go.
Yeah, my cousins had a German Shepherd that was a really, really awesome dog. When we were little, my sister was small. She used to, like, ride that dog, you know, like a horse almost.
Right.
And she could do anything to this dog, and,
yeah.
and he would be fine with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, German Shepherds can be aggressive.
Oh, sure.
But it was just such a peaceful dog.
Juve says, from starting to smell bad because you Northerners are coming back, Florida. Love the show. Go Pats all the way. You guys are very entertaining. He thinks you should get a Shih Tzu.
Did you see the play? You probably didn't. Kansas City won a couple of weeks ago against Baltimore.
Paul's criteria for a suitable dog sounds more like a cat, says Robin in Alaska.
Nah, cats just don't really do anything for you. I mean, I've had a cat, and they're fine, but they don't... Like, I want to... Like, a cat's not a companion.
They can be. Sure they can.
Nah.
You don't take them for walks, but they are very... You know, they can definitely be a companion. Not like a dog.
I think cats
nothing's like a dog.
Aren't cats just kind of like selfish?
They can
soft
be, but,
on their own.
But they, you know,
I had a good cat. He was good. You know, he was fine. Clark, Clarky, as my mother-in-law would say. Where's Clarky? And he was always downstairs because he was fat load and couldn't get up the stairs.
Uh-huh.
That's true.
What were you
like
saying, though, Paul?
Diabetic cat.
Before I interrupt you.
Kansas City, Buffalo. The game-winning touchdown was scored when I think it was T.J. Graham caught a crossing route, an under route, and he caught it. Maybe took a step or two and was stripped. And Tamba Ali picked it up and ran it in. Every time I see that catch, since then, that's ruled an incomplete pass. They go to replay, they rule them incomplete. Why that one was ruled a complete? I don't know the difference. I wish you could see them. There was even one that Carolina had in San Francisco with Vernon Davis on the sideline. He caught it, took two, maybe three steps, and got stripped, and they said it was an incomplete pass. They challenged it, went to review, and they upheld it. Still incomplete. I don't get the way they call those. The only one I've ever seen was that Kansas City one, which I think cost Buffalo the game.
Yeah. Vishal writes in, hey, guys, with Aqib Talib injured and Nnamdi Asamoah now a free agent, do you think the Patriots should pick him up? He's a lot better than Marquise Cole and Arrington, and with Talib injured, he can be the shutdown corner we so desperately need. Anyway, please let me know your thoughts, and thanks for the wonderful entertainment every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Keep up the great work. Yeah, Awesome was out there. Does he have he's a free agent. You could sign him for whatever.
He cleared waivers. I didn't think he would clear waivers because he didn't have a big contract. Reed's got like $400,000 left on his deal this year or something like that. John McClain tweeted out a little while ago, and you know he was owed like $5 million by the Texans. I don't know how much of that is you know guaranteed or whatever. I think that might be just stuff that the Texans were responsible for. Listen, is Asamoah better than Marquise Cole? I don't know. Why is he out of work?
Right.
I mean, he went to Philadelphia, did nothing there. Went to San Francisco, did nothing there. They cut him. No one wanted him in the meantime when he was cut by Philadelphia. He was out of work for a while before the Niners picked him up. I mean, if he was as good a corner as he's being billed as, wouldn't he have a job? I'm not sure he's better than Arrington and Cole and the guys the Patriots have.
Do the teams that really need that help, do they have room under the cap? You know,
he doesn't cost anything, Fred.
Well, you'd have to sign him to the veteran minimum. Right.
You don't have $400,000?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, then you have bigger problems if you don't have $400,000 in cap space.
I don't know. But like you said,
and
is he that good?
And you're talking about 30 teams.
Right.
You know, I'll take Philadelphia and San Francisco out of the equation. The other 30 teams could pick him up for nothing. If he was that good, I think someone would have.
Yeah.
This team right now, Carolina, their cornerbacks are average at best.
Charlotta writes in. She likes it when I call her that. You'd think with all the offseason turmoil, the Patriots would be the organization reeling, but not so. We're just business as usual. When tough season-ending injuries come up, we just apply next man up, 7-2 going into the bye week. Not half bad for a team that lost a better part of their offense. What's beyond me is, why aren't more organizations ripping the Patriots playbook on how to handle their business? Someone had a genius tweet, the Patriots are better handling an alleged murder than the Dolphins handling a bully. Carolina's defense, fast off the line, looks like you can run the ball at times, suspect secondary. Besides keeping Brady upright, what will be our biggest challenge on offense?
Well, that.
That is it.
Converting third downs.
Because if you do protect Brady,
converting third downs,
game's over.
I would disagree with the running thing. The Carolina's excellent against the run, and they shut down Frank Gore last week. He had 80 yards or something like that. And that's as good a running team as there is in football, San Francisco. Listen, you know, can the Patriots spread out Carolina and maybe pop a few draws in there when they're not expecting? Yeah, they might be able to do that, but they ain't going to line it up and run it down Carolina's throat, I don't think. I'd be surprised if that happens.
But if Brady can drop back and survey the field, it's game over, right? If he has time?
If he has time, I think he'll be able to find some opponents. I'm not saying that's game. Why is that game over?
Because he's going to
But what about the other side of the ball? What if Cam Newton can hand the ball off right down the Patriots' throat all day? Is that game over for them?
Yeah, but they'll score 20 points. The Patriots
will score more. Patriots score 20?
Well, that's what I'm saying. If he has time to throw, the Patriots
but
to
if
score
they don't
more
have
than
it,
20.
If they don't have it, they can't score. If the other team is able to just run the ball and score 20 points and you don't get it, Well, I mean, you can't just assume that one thing is happening and the other thing isn't.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can always say that, but what do you – if Brady has enough time
– I think he'll be able to throw the ball effectively.
And do the Patriots win?
I don't know. I don't know what happens on the other side of the ball.
So you're not making any predictions this week? You're holding off on predictions until Thursday?
What, do you want me to make my prediction for the game now?
No, I'm just saying.
I can do that. I think the Patriots will win.
Because
I don't think Carolina's ready for this spot. I think Carolina's going to wet their pants.
But in order for them to win, Brady's going to need time.
Yes.
Okay.
But I think Carolina's going to wet itself Monday night. You want my prediction now? I don't think they're ready for this game.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that not what you wanted to hear either? I never know what you want to hear. I always try to think in my mind, before I say this, how's Fred going to react? And I almost never get the reaction I think I'm going to get from you.
Maybe you shouldn't think so much.
I do. I shouldn't think so much. I never get the reaction from you. I said, you know what? This is going to make Fred happy. And then you never get the reaction I'm looking for.
You shouldn't say it to make me happy.
No, I don't say that. I don't believe it.
Because no matter what you say, I'm going to try to get you to say more.
But if I believe it, and I say it, I think one, you know, like my Denver thing, I know is going to make you all hot and bothered. When I say I still think Denver will score 30 points, right. You'll get mad. But the Carolina, I mean, I just don't think Carolina's ready for this.
Okay.
The Patriots, this is another game for the Patriots.
Yeah.
And they know how to get themselves ready. I don't think Carolina will. I think they're going to wet themselves.
I just dragged out of Paul his prediction. He thinks that Carolina's not ready for the spot and they're going to poop themselves.
I think Andy's mic's off.
Turn on Andy's mic.
I think there's a chance of that. I do.
Really?
I also think there's a chance that the Patriots get punched in the mouth and not quite sure how to respond.
So anything can happen.
No, I'm torn. Yeah. See,
unlike
you.
Don't you ever go into games thinking
unlike
that way?
Unlike you, I can't just remove 8 games of crap from my mentality and say the one good game was the game that they're going to play.
He hits me with, you know, if Brady gets time, then it's game over, right? I said, well, if Brady gets time, I'm confident the Patriots will move the ball through the air. But I don't know what's going to happen on the other side.
Right.
Does Cam Newton just be able to hand the ball off at will and the Patriots can't stop him?
And Cam Newton's athleticism scares the hell out of
him. So now they have the ball 2/3 of the game and it's a 20-point. I mean, even though Brady has all this time, they're only going to score like 20 points because they don't have the ball.
I am scared that I am going to see Dante Hightower and Cam Newton both headed towards a spot. And if that happens, you might as well just, you know, move the chains because it's going to be a first down because Cam Newton's going to win that battle. I have my concerns about his rushing and athletic ability. I think that is a major concern. I think Greg Olsen is a concern. I think the fact that you may or may not have Aqib Talib is a concern.
And with this,
the offensive line is a major concern still. Prove to me that you can block somebody.
Oh,
prove
sure.
to me that you're consistent. Well, like, prove to me that you're good.
Well, that was kind of the thing is if Brady doesn't have time, they probably lose the game.
Yeah, I agree with
that.
Oh,
if Brady gets knocked around, they're going to lose, yes.
Yeah.
Now, I will say this. For the flip side of what I just said, the opposite. Okay, if Brady doesn't have time, they're not going to be able to score any points. On the flip side, if Carolina turns the ball over the way the Patriots have been able to take the ball away from a lot of teams, it's game on still. You don't know who's going to win. Maybe you win an ugly game. Because I don't think Carolina is very good offensively. They don't have a lot of weapons. They have Steve Smith, who's aging, and they have a good tight end, but not great, in Greg Olsen.
Not great at all.
And they have a good running game with D'Angelo Williams, Jonathan Stewart, and a little bit of Tolbert mixed in. And as Andy said, Cam's ability to run, too, I think, is part of the equation. The Patriots really haven't faced a guy like that this year. There's been a lot of talk about E.J. Manuel and Geno Smith. Cam Newton runs the ball far more effectively than either one of those guys.
So you have no fear?
Oh, wait, it's a
must-win. That's right.
No, Fred has some fear.
Don't paint him into the corner.
So then what is your perspective if you're going to mock us for not knowing exactly how it's going to play out?
Like I said, if Brady has ample time to survey the field, I think the Patriots will win.
Yeah, maybe.
That's what I said.
I don't think it's a be-all, end-all.
I said if Brady has time, I know the Patriots will score points.
Right.
But I don't know how many because if the other team does offense the way they want to do offense, you're not going to have the ball very much.
Right.
They're going to be putting together like 10-minute drives, and you're going to have to score in two.
And as much as I like my Samoan, I'm not ready to anoint this run defense back. Ready to go. This run defense could be the one that's gave up a $150 in 3 out of 4 games.
And with the way this league is this year, anybody that sits there and tells you what's going to happen before a game,
sure.
I'm sorry.
But people do want to hear our opinions.
No, but they don't want to hear
it. They don't want to hear people say, well, this could happen, but that could happen.
I actually
think that's what they want to hear on Tuesday and Wednesday, and then on Thursday we bring it all together and make a prediction.
What do you think is going to happen?
Right.
You know, that's
so early in the week, I think we pose the possibilities.
Right.
Later in the week, we make a prediction.
Like, I think Carolina's not going to be ready for this spot because I think it's a young team that's still finding its way, and I think they are going to be a little bit happy with themselves. I think the only thing that could have been better for the Patriots then what happened in the game against San Francisco is if they had gotten crushed by San Francisco. That would have been even better for the Patriots if San Francisco just blew their doors off. And now the Panthers are off. They're sitting there saying, we really are a product of our schedule, and we can't beat the good teams, and now we got to play another good team.
I just did our interview very quickly with Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah.
So Thursday, 7:30, Comcast, an exclusive one-on-one.
Why are you sitting with your wrist like all?
I got a bad wrist. I got an issue.
Really?
That
locker
Rev's
room's not open yet, is it?
No. We did it beforehand.
I thought so.
That Rev's weight room is where we did it. That's a nice little weight room.
Is it?
You need to get me access
to get in there.
Isn't that what we're pining for?
It's really nice. I mean, they got dumbbells. They have the adjustable dumbbells. They have a few benches, a few machines, a few treadmills, TV, ball. That's a good little weight room. Even Gronk was impressed.
And
I've never seen this before, he said.
And I don't think they use it.
There was nobody in there now, I can tell you that much.
Speaking of Ed Reed, evidently Tom Brady just compared Luke Kuechly's ball skills to Ed Reed.
The other thing, so how did Gronkowski's interview go?
It was good.
Little tease for PFW TV.
It was good. You know,
because we're a ratings machine.
We are a ratings machine, yeah. And I think Gronk, he had a Harvard shirt on, probably left over from his little...
Right.
But no, he was good. He was funny, and you know, we talked a little bit about Gronk flakes and stuff at the end. You know, to bring a little humor. We didn't talk about anything, at least not on the record.
The other thing that we're talking about is Paul thinks that eventually his family's going to break him down. He's going to get a dog. So we're trying to figure out what the best kind of dog would be for him.
Not a black lab.
He doesn't want a wired dog. Well, TGNJ says get a lab. You can't go wrong.
Oh yeah, you can.
Not based
bastard.
On what Andy tells me every day.
But Paul doesn't want a dog that just lies there, but he doesn't want a dog that is a
super hyper
and hyper.
Like always barking.
So something in between.
Chewing everything.
So,
I'm out of luck, right? What I want doesn't exist, right?
Maybe a bulldog? I've heard they like to play for a few minutes and then lay down and be fat like their owner.
Yeah.
I think a bulldog might be an option.
I like bulldogs.
Is that a shot?
Well, yeah. I like bulldogs. Now, they also have a lot of problems because any dog that has the squished face can have a lot of issues and stuff.
Greg says get a golden retriever. He's from the billing department. They're very sweet, great with kids, hyper but not bouncing off the walls, and very loyal. Only downfall is that they shed a lot. This is and he has pictures of his puppy. Oh, very nice. Not really looking. Steven says
I'm not really looking.
Hashtag not really looking.
Steve says I'd highly recommend a Weimer. I think that's a Weimaraner, probably. They make great family pets as they are loyal, fairly easy to train, and very protective of the family they bond with. So, and then one
Christmas puppy, we talking?
One final one. No. Olivier says...
Maybe when my kids are old enough to take care of
your backyard's fenced in, right?
No.
Oh.
Olivier says, please tell Paul he should get a Belgian Shepherd. They don't have any health issues, unlike the Germans. Great family members, and he has a few pictures of his.
That sounds like a big dog.
People love sending.
People love their dogs.
Oh yeah,
people love their dogs.
I
was
love
not,
my
I'm not
dog.
Surprised.
I just
Fred,
hate him.
Fred put the word out for the peeps to call in, write in with suggestions, and I'm not surprised that we've had an overwhelming response.
Right.
I think you should go bulldog.
I just think.
But at first, Paul yelled at me. He says, "Why don't you just tell me what kind of dog?
Well, I
want to get the people."
I said, "You're worldly on dogs. You know your dogs. What you know? You tell me." He was like he wasn't going to commit until everybody else.
I want to get them involved. That's all, and I really don't know the answer.
Well, there is no right answer. Yeah. It's you got to figure out your personality, your family's personality, the dog.
I have a pug right now. I had a lab and a pug. Lab went down. The pug is older now, and he's got diabetes and blind, but he's doing fine. I mean,
oh, other than that,
he's loving life.
Answers by the name of Lucky.
It's funny because they don't even seem like they are blind. Like he does, he gets around fine. But when my wife wants a French bulldog, have you seen those? They look like pugs, but the ears are straight up.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit bigger.
Yeah.
I would like an English bulldog. I would like one of those.
That might be my next dog if I have a next dog after this terrible experience.
But I don't know. I think maybe when my kids are old enough to do the work.
Yeah, that won't happen.
They're the ones
They'll
that
be
want
old
it.
Enough to do the work.
Paul,
I'm not
no
sure
matter
they
what,
will.
You'll end up doing the work.
They're the ones that want. Well, then, if you think that's true, then I'm never getting it.
But you'll love it. You'll
no,
love
I
the
won't.
Dog. You'll end up
I have enough
it.
To do.
Oh,
I don't need
that. Enough to do?
I have enough to do. I spend my whole life in a stupid car coming back and forth.
Well,
from this
now
place.
You can have a riding companion.
Yeah, one of those that sits like out on
you
the window on your
that.
Shoulder.
Where am I going to put it? What am I, Felger? I'm going to take my dog to work every day?
The kids? No. When you're taking the kids.
You should get Felger's dog. That is the best dog I've ever seen in my life.
I swear he's sedates.
It's some sort of retriever, but it doesn't really look golden. It's more like white. A white retriever.
Yeah, he probably paid somebody like thousands of dollars to train it.
Well, whatever it is,
he brings
it's great.
It into Comcast, Fred, and literally he puts the leash like in a desk drawer so he can't get off of, you know, right. if it wants. it just lays there. He actually has a Tupperware of water.
Yeah, that's always there.
That's just always there.
On the floor at Comcast.
So, on the floor at Comcast. He brings it in. He goes and does the show. The dog just lays there.
Like, if I brought my dog into the middle of a working newsroom,
oh yeah,
Lord only knows what would happen.
Oh, hilarity ensues.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this dog, it's a good dog, and it's cute, but like,
it is a good
it'll
dog.
Interact with you if you go up to it and interact with it, but as soon as you're done, it's
You're right,
done.
Though, Andy. Right. If I could be guaranteed to have a dog like that, yeah. I might not be.
Well, like I said, he
it.
Probably paid a lot of money to have that dog trained.
Yeah, well, I don't have a lot of money to have the dog trained.
Well, first of all, if you don't have a lot of money, don't get a dog.
Well, that's the other thing.
Because I'm about $5,000 in at this point.
I'd rather put an addition on my house than get a dog based on the way you guys make it out to be.
Ross,
which,
Canada.
By the way, I could use an addition on the house.
Yeah.
I need more space.
Ross,
especially if you get a dog.
Ross in Canada.
Ross in Canada.
In truth, I'm more nervous for the game against Carolina. That's an impressive defense with us dusting off the rust post-bye. We'll be on the road, and I just hope Vereen is back and ready for some screens. As for the Broncos, night game, late November, a beat-up Peyton in the cold. Denver's solid, but
that's
it'll
a good
be
point.
Close.
That's a good point.
We've seen Peyton's performing suffer in the cold year after year. I'm rooting for a cold night, Gillette. Either way, it looks more and more likely 11-5 could net us the bye week.
Plus, I don't think you're going to go 11-5. I think you're going to go 12-4. But I agree, 11-5 probably would be good enough.
By the way, the forecast right now for Monday night in Carolina is rain, I think.
Oh, that stinks. Yeah. I don't want Soggy. The game to get ruined.
Just a behind the scenes, when I ran out of here to go to Gronk, literally almost ran into the head coach and the vice president of player personnel or whatever, Nick Caserio, is having a nice conversation. And then I had to mill about because I didn't want to like follow like right behind them and them thinking I'm listening to every word they say. So
right.
Another one of those little awkward engagements in the hallway. Can we do 4 p.m. point counterpoint? Need a topic too.
We might be a little late today, no sauce.
Yes, we're not beginning
taping
until 2.
We're getting a late start on Comcast because of the availability.
Because availability doesn't
end. We can do it at 5.
Okay. I
got to
run at 4:30. I got to run at 4:30. Involvement, taking my son to a dentist appointment. So I'll get somebody to step in. But
yeah, all you do is count down from 3. So, I mean, it's not like you're vital.
And occasionally say, yeah, you could do better.
All right,
topic. We'll come up with one.
Hot topic.
We'll surprise you.
Oh, boy. I wouldn't leave that open-ended like that.
Lot of people writing in about Ed Reed, whether or not...
they want him? Is the general consensus?
Well, they
want
to know
Ed
what
Reed?
Our opinion is of him.
The corpse of Ed Reed, bring him in,
you know,
says Andy.
Why not? We got the corpse of Adrian Wilson.
He's not playing, though.
They can play Andy cards
wants
in the
Andy wants him, no socks, I don't.
However, Adam in Alexandria, Virginia says, I have little to no interest... in bringing in Ed Reed. I thought he was washed up and broken down in camp. He has proven to be just that. Devin McCourty picked up where he left off last year, playing like one of the best safeties in the league. I realize Gregory is hurt, but I honestly doubt Reed, at least in terms of on-field production, is any better than Daron Harmon right now. I would like to have Reed as a veteran presence and maybe in a limited depth role, but knowing Belichick, if he signed him, he'd play him often, and I think that would be a bad thing for the defense.
Plus, are you going to get the veteran presence if he's bitching about not playing?
Right. He
Which
was already.
What he did in Houston.
But you never know. If Bill and he sit down and you bring him in for the veteran minimum for the second half, who knows, right? I mean, he wants to stick it to the Texans and do whatever.
Right.
I don't know. I would look into it. I haven't watched him enough to know how done he is.
Right.
Can he be a part-time player? Could you find a role for him if you're Belichick?
Right.
I'm not in love with Daron Harmon and the way he's played. You know, I'm not ready to say Daron Harmon is ready.
Well, I understand that if they do bring in Ed Reed in for a workout, the workout will consist of him, Brady looking at him, and if Brady gets nervous, then they'll sign him.
I could see in his eyes.
I know, I was trying to work that out as I said it. It just didn't come out.
I got lost.
Dave in West Virginia says no matter what kind of dog Paul gets, he should call it offense bad. That should be the name of the dog.
In honor of Felgren?
No, it'll be Husky.
Why don't you get a Husky?
You could bring it to the games.
Oh, my God.
Be a mascot.
No.
Perfect.
That's it. Get
Husky.
Yourself a
Husky.
Husky.
Get a Husky. That's the way to go.
Name it Reggie.
And they're good dogs. They're
real
good dogs.
I don't
dogs.
Really know much about Huskies.
Yeah, they can.
Now,
yeah.
Are they all Siberian Huskies? Are they all? Or
oh,
they...
there's all different types of Huskies, I believe.
What is the Husky? Is that a Siberian Husky?
I think it is, yeah.
I don't know.
Paul, get a Husky. Oh, so, that would be something. That would be awesome. Now we could really make fun of you.
The Perillo family showing up with a husky.
One
oh, my God.
One of my friends growing up, about three houses up, John O'Keefe, he had a dog, a husky, when we were growing up. And it was it's probably part of the reason why I don't like dogs so much. It's one of those dogs that used to always just jump on your leg. You know, the humping dog.
Oh, really?
Always. Always.
Yeah.
Like, you'd be walking down Walcott Street, going to the store. Bam, here comes Bandit. Right up on your leg.
Really?
Freaked me out all the time. And John always called him Dog. Dog! Go get the cat.
But I think Andy, you've hit on it. That's husky. It. Get
it's
yourself
a
husky. And you can put, like, one of those little vests on it that has the Husky logo on it.
I just had this thing. I was listening to them talking about, I don't know if you heard this, Andy, you were probably there much earlier today. Dennis and Callahan were talking about Peter King, who was, I guess he had to put his dog down over the weekend, 14 years old. And they were talking about, I guess Minahan's a dog hater. You know, sounds like, makes me look very much like a dog lover, the way he was talking.
He's kind of just a douchebag.
He's kind of like just hater. You
right.
Can forget the first part of it.
He doesn't like anything.
And they were trying to get, you know, convince him to get a dog and this and that. And I was like, you know, maybe it's time. Because I know my kids just so badly want one. And, you know, that's right. The only time you ever do anything is when you know it's affecting your kids.
Right.
Yeah. So
plus,
I started
you have
to
a
think,
good yard for it because you could fence it in easy.
Then I'd have to fence it in.
Oh, so what?
There's another couple grand right
there. I thought
there.
It already was fenced in.
I think it's
in.
Partially, right? You got the...
No, I need to get the fences from the house to the side of the fence.
Oh,
that's nothing.
That's nothing. Do it.
It's a couple grand.
I've
already looked into it.
Well, what are you putting in? Gold-plated fencing?
We were going to do it for the...
some chicken wire and some metal posts.
We were going to do it when the kids were growing up, and we decided, that's too expensive. We'll just watch them. Now they're old enough that it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Get yourself a husky. Jim in Pittsburgh has an idea for Paul's dog. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
What do you got, Jim?
Hey, get a mutt.
A mutt?
They're the best dogs. Best temperament. They're not as hyper. They don't have as many problems as the purebred dogs do with the breeding. They're way better. Just get a mutt and don't get a husky.
Yeah, and
don't get a husky.
No, I've had a couple, and then I had one that's part husky. Unless you want hair all over your house at least 6 months out of the year, don't get a husky.
That's
They're great
true.
Dogs.
They do shed.
They shed nonstop. The good thing is, though, is if your wife knows how to crochet, Paul, you could have hair again.
But with that, we'll let him go right there because it goes out on
you're
a
not,
high note.
You're not going to do any better than that. That's just gold right there.
I have. Everybody seems
to. Well, you really went bald there, didn't you?
What?
Mutts are better.
Yeah, go to the rescue. Get yourself a mutt.
No, now we're going down that road again. Make sure all your neighbors say you're a great dog owner and make sure they'll come visit your house.
Right, you had problems.
Your first
with that.
Testicle will go to them.
Yeah.
Andy had problems with them.
Right.
Andy's sort of anti-charity.
No. Just when charities make it ridiculous.
One dog we know you're not going to get is a terrier, right?
No.
Right.
No. I think bulldog's the way to go. Can you just see TJ walking a bulldog? That'd be funny.
TJ walking a bulldog.
That'd be funny.
TJ walking a bulldog.
Like, and you can, like, TJ will have ice cream and he'll be sharing it with the bulldog. And stuff. Like, I could see that. That's a pairing.
I absolutely
made in
could see that.
Larry's in Worcester. Hey, Larry.
Hi, how you doing? I was going to call about a couple things. But the dog, if you're going to buy a dog and you think your kids are going to take care of
right.
it, you're out of your mind.
All right, Larry, you just thank you very much because you just clinched it. Now I just keep these my week 12 hours that I've had. I'm going to keep it to myself.
My wedding gift for my wife was a dog, and I said, we're not going to get the dog till the yard's fenced in. So she gave me both. Because I had a dog all my whole life, and I was always out there in the snow walking the dog, and it's you got to be able to go, boy.
Yep. The other part of it that I worry about is like when you have to go out.
And the other thing, the mutt is a great idea, but the husky is your wife's gonna kill you unless you do the vacuuming and cleaning.
Does the day end in day? I mean, I get killed. I mean, oh, come on. How often do you think, you know me, Larry, how often do you think I'm in trouble with my wife?
Most days.
Right.
Well, you don't need to add on. And if you do go get a mutt, look for a wire hair thing because they have a tendency not to shed. You have to give them a haircut twice a year, but
they like
also
me.
Don't have, it's like a poodle or that Portuguese water thing. They don't have their hair is more human-like. By the way, don't get small. If a dog is meant to be big, like a poodle is meant to be, a 60-pound dog.
Yeah, I had a huge poodle behind me growing up.
And
huge.
They have a big tendency to be a real good family dog. They're not a one-person dog.
Yeah, that one used to scare the crap out of me.
Well, yeah, they're big.
Shelly.
And they will protect the house.
Plus,
you know, I don't know what you... But the family itself, you don't have to it's protect the house from strangers. But anyway, the other thing I wanted to ask is... Andy has become the Matt Millen of defensive linemen.
Okay. What does that mean?
You keep picking them in the first round until you get one right. Congratulations, you got one right.
Ah, Quinn. Right.
Yep. Is that Quinn?
Good, Larry. Good. Good.
I couldn't resist, Andy.
Screw you, Larry.
It's all in good fun. You know that.
Right. All right.
But I've listened for years.
Okay.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks, Larry.
Oh, great.
When's Belichick going to hit on his second round corner?
Elvis is in the house, and he's also in New York City on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Elvis.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Good, good.
Okay, first thing is, Paul.
Yes, Elvis.
For your dog.
I told you.
Get a Rhodesian Ridgeback.
What the hell is that?
The best dog
ever
in the world.
Are those the ones, they kind of look like labs, a little bit wider?
No, they look like a mix between a German Shepherd and a greyhound.
Okay. Oh, really.
Lean.
Yeah.
Really dense. Really dense hair. They don't shed as much.
Yeah.
You don't need flea and tick stuff for them because their hair is really dense.
Yeah. I'm thinking about the Chesapeake Bay Retriever or something like that.
You have to worry about the hair still.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm a professional dog trainer.
Oh. Okay.
Rhodesian Ridgeback, by far the best dog to get. If you want no hair, then I say get a Golden Doodle.
A Golden Doodle?
Yes.
Can you come train my dog?
Yes.
Yes.
And you'll have the best dog in the world. So the guy who brings the dog in for Comcast, who sits and does nothing, you can have a dog with a little bit more personality that'll walk around and at least look for a little bit of attention, but then go back and they don't get any. You can train your dog to do all that stuff.
Wow. Okay.
How much does that cost?
For the football stuff, thank you guys for finally being somewhat neutral about the Patriots this year. This pessimistic stuff was horrible.
Well, it took them 55 points, but they finally came around.
Do you mean all season or like right now? I go by what I see every week. I mean, I don't see how you can be pessimistic about 55 points.
No, I mean, it's
they finally had a good offensive game.
Look at the offensive line. Look what we've had to work with this entire year.
They're starting five from last year.
Huh?
They're starting five from last year.
Okay. What about the receivers?
Okay, well, you said the offensive line.
Okay, true. On that one.
I mean, the receivers are what they I mean, listen, we talked a lot about the impact that Hernandez had on the whole thing, and that's not their fault. I mean, it happened in June. It happened after the draft. It happened after they allowed the Welker situation to unfold. I was not anti-letting Welker walk, but it put him in a bad spot. With Gronkowski injured and Hernandez gone, it put him in a bad spot.
And then we bring in a piece of China. I mean, Amendola.
Who's being pessimistic now?
Huh?
Who's being pessimistic now, Elvis?
Oh, I'm also a realist.
Well, I think Fred, Andy, and I like to think of ourselves as realists too.
Fred, we got to pull Fred out of that one. Sorry, Fred. I love you to death, Fred. I really do.
Say now.
But
this is my favorite call of all time.
If Brady was a baby, you'd be holding him the entire time.
I might burp him. Yeah, okay. Trying to get him a smile.
You guys definitely bring some good stuff for the Patriots stuff because the national media is nothing but a joke.
They are.
When it comes to analyzing how the Patriots play.
Well, they hate us.
I think the national media is a joke analyzing how every team plays. I don't think you, as the national media, can really know a team.
Yeah.
I really don't.
And they call themselves professional analysts.
Yeah, I mean, I think they can look at a play and break it down. You know, like the Trent Dilfers of the world can break it down better than we could. But
well,
I don't think
they can only break it down from a player's perspective, not
right.
the coach's view.
And they can't break it down from the team perspective of that individual team, like the individual things that they like to do. Andy and I, how many times do we sit there and we look and we say, you know, here's where something's going to happen, or, you know, this is, you know, the third and, you know, the screen pass is coming here. Like, you can just kind of tell, you get a feel
right
from watching the team. And, you know, I mean, you don't get every single thing right, but you sort of get a feel for the personnel that's on the field, of the situation in the game, you know, different things. I don't think national guys can do that for individual teams. It's impossible.
And, you know, and other teams too, like when whoever we're playing, I go and I listen to their podcast or listen to their radio host. You guys definitely bring a different perspective to the game. You guys look at it more as a chess match as opposed to the Neanderthal perspective that a lot of guys look at football.
Well, we're intellectuals.
I've slowed down with the titles we're giving ourselves. But yeah.
Andy did go to an academic conference.
Yep.
That's why we've lost 31 straight football games.
But, you know, I was listening to Belichick yesterday when he gave his view on what happened was happening in Miami. Just when they thought, when everything was done, Belichick continued. He became a chatty Cathy about the situation. And I really appreciated that, too, because he was really, really thorough about it, and he didn't throw anyone underneath the bus. Perfect. Pure perfection as a coach.
Yep.
Yeah, the media may hate him because he doesn't talk a lot usually, but when it comes to something that really does mean something, then he's going to talk about it. And I appreciate that about him.
Yep.
Anyways.
All right, Elvis.
Get the Rhodesian Ridgeback or a Golden Doodle.
Okay.
Rhodesian Ridgeback. I'm going to tell Beth.
Can he afford a Rhodesian
Ridgeback? Go out and find a Rhodesian Ridgeback?
Well, Joseph says he totally agrees with the Rhodesian Ridgeback. I have one named Cody, and he's the best dog I've ever owned.
So, I never even heard of it.
There you go. Ed also says Paul should get a Jack Russell like the one on Frazier.
I hate him.
They have great personality and can be trained to do all kinds of tricks. Paul can buy a Frisbee. He and the dog can get some exercise in the park or
like
halftime.
Be like Eddie Duckworth, the Frisbee dogs.
Yeah. You need one that'll bring you Miller Lite, though, right?
I don't do a lot of Miller Lite drinking when I'm in the house with the kids.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Hunter will bring it to you. It'll just be empty. He did. He took one out of a cooler this summer and he popped it open and... Yeah, I don't think he really drank it, but
no, but it went all over the place. Yes. Hopefully, it was outside.
Walter Johnson says you should get a Newfoundland, like the commercial.
Yes,
what's that?
Oh, the Paul big, would... massive black dog.
Oh my God, no
they're
way.
Like bigger than you.
They're bigger than
slobber and just, they're but huge. They're awesome. They're really cool, but yeah.
See, I'm not. I don't know.
You're not. You don't know.
I'm not like the. I could never see myself being all like touchy feely with a dog, like, you know, it's my boy, you know, slobbering it all up with a dog.
You
I could never
do that. Why not?
Oh, then you shouldn't
not,
get a dog.
It's just not like, into. Well, yeah. I'd be getting it for my kids.
I do that every morning, and I hate Hunter right now because he's pissing me
my
off.
My kids
but
will
I still
do
wake
that.
Up and love him.
I mean, don't you do things for your kids that you don't necessarily interested in?
Oh yeah.
Well, that's what I would be doing this for my kids.
But I think
they really want a dog.
I think
and I'm sure they want to play with it. Like
I think
that.
You're a cold, stone-hearted man.
They want to play
man.
With it, but that's about it.
Well, listen, you're talking about like giving it, taking it for a walk.
Walks,
I have no problems with taking
it
for a walk. I don't
taking it to the vet.
I don't want. Well, yeah,
groomer.
I'm not doing any of that.
Who is
Beth? if she wants the dog, then that's what she'll be doing. She'll be taking care of the. I mean, I'll take it for a walk every night. I don't mind that. Matter of fact,
just
probably,
to get out of the house.
Well, probably right, be good
right.
for him.
Bring a Miller Lite with him.
Right.
Oh, I mean, let's call a spade a spade. I could use that.
Right.
I could use an excuse to go out and walk for 10 minutes every night.
But you won't love it.
Well, I'm certainly not going to like it in the heart of the winter, but.
No, I mean the dog. I think you're a cold-hearted man. If you take a dog
he,
for like a walk
what?
Every night
he's,
and you don't
he's just be,
like
he
start
would be,
to like it and want to ruffle
melt.
It,
I'm telling you right now.
I would hope so because if he doesn't,
he's just saying that
I think
he's
that
playing
says
Mr.
something.
Tough Guy. He gets that dog. It would be like his. He would
no.
be doing the baby talk with it. I know he would.
It's not. I'm not trying to be a tough guy and playing a role. I've never had a dog, so I never knew that relationship that you guys talk
right,
about.
And you would love it.
But you maybe never had a kid until you had kids.
Maybe I would.
And then you loved him.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my
life. I know.
Life.
I thought it was pretty good.
That's even dumb for you. Are you sure you went to an academic conference?
I don't understand how you could have a dog and walk it every day like you said you will and not
become
close to it.
I would walk it most days.
I'm not saying
no
you have to, like, lick
that.
Its tongue and make out with
well,
it.
Well, that wouldn't happen. I think
but,
that's disgusting.
I mean, lay with it, rub it. Yeah,
lay with it.
You know, lay on the floor with your dog?
Well, I don't know. Yours had a little bit of a sexual
oh, shut up, you.
As does everything with Andy.
No, this time it was him. I laid with my dog, and he makes it like some biblical
lay,
to
with
lay
it,
down with a
belly.
Woman. You don't rub your dog's belly?
Sure, but I don't lay with it while I'm doing it.
You don't lay on the floor with your dog at all?
Well, it's a pug. It's small.
It's
blind and has diabetes, too. Could be part of it. It's old. It's
but
past
he,
that
he
point.
Does sleep with us. He sleeps in the
in
bed.
In the bed?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I could.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'm all set with that.
And when Maxie was around, she would get up there sometimes, too. It was pretty crowded.
My wife doesn't even let the dog upstairs.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Stays downstairs.
Oh, poor dog.
Why?
They're pack animals. They want to be with the pack.
But he loves his crate. Yeah. At nighttime, he'll just get up. We're watching TV, and he'll just walk to his crate and
lay
down. I need
to get a crate?
Crate training is the best way to...
Crate training, yeah. Yes.
Where am I going to put a crate in my house? My house is too small.
It's not the size of, like, a washing machine. It's just a little crate.
Well, that's just cruel.
Well, mine is, like...
It's not cruel.
Mine's bigger than a washing machine.
It's not cruel. They want...
They love it. Yeah. It's their security. It's their home. It's their... And they won't pee where they
my
sleep.
My house is small. I don't have acres and acres of land like you.
But I don't go into this thinking it's going to be easy and fun. That's all I'm telling you.
I know it's not going to be either one
especially
of those things.
Especially early when it's crying and
right.
everything.
It'll be
like,
fun.
Do you remember when I had to sleep down there with the dog because it wouldn't shut up and I had to put my hand in the crate to pet it all night long?
See?
I slept on the floor next to it.
Me? No. Not doing
I
it.
I can see Paul doing that.
Yeah. Can you?
No, I can't.
Because it absolutely ain't happening.
I can't see that. No.
So if that's what it requires, then no.
It doesn't require that.
Well,
Paul was just Andy was a softie.
Yeah, I was. I'll admit it. I couldn't deal with the dog just crying all night long and I felt bad.
You're supposed to just let it cry?
Mm-hmm. Like a baby.
I got up when my babies cried.
No, you
cry
it
out.
You let it cry.
You'll be better for it in the long run.
You know, it'll get.
You could also not get a puppy. That's what my wife kept saying. I didn't want to get a puppy. We could have adopted a dog. We would have avoided all this crap. I wanted something that was going to grow up with the family so there'd be of that bond.
Speaking of babies crying.
John Rook's here.
Wow.
Hey, John,
totally
I have a question.
Yeah,
what kind of dog do you have?
What kind of dog do you have?
I had retrievers, and you were talking about, or the guy that just called in was talking about Rhodesian Ridgeback. They are beautiful, beautiful dogs, but I will say this, very, very gassy.
Oh. But doesn't that depend on the food you use?
I would think so, yes. She was an absolute sweetheart. Big dog, but just a sweetheart. And
big dog, big air.
She would, she'd walk
it
and it just, I would just keep flame away from her.
Scott Zolak of dogs.
Right.
Just light it up.
A question about Friar basketball. I watched the game against BC in which they won.
Yeah.
But they kept mentioning guys that were suspended or hurt for the Friars. Who are they and how good are they and all that stuff?
Guys that are, the guy that's hurt's the best player. He's a former McDonald's All-American. His name's Chris Dunn.
Oh, really?
He re-hurt his right shoulder, which he had surgery on about a little over a year ago. And unfortunately for him, he's a local kid, New London, Connecticut.
So Cotton's not their best player?
No. He is their best player, but he's the top player that was hurt of the three that are out.
Oh, okay.
And, his career could actually be in jeopardy from what we're hearing, which is really, really tough. Hopefully they'll get it worked out. They're talking to him, trying to decide whether or not surgery or whatever can get him through this year and whatever, maybe a redshirt year. The other two kids are freshmen. We don't really know what they did, but they did some things that they shouldn't have been doing as freshmen. So they've been suspended till further notice.
But they're that good where they will.
One of them is. The other one is a good one, but he probably will be a contributor by the time, he's a junior, I would say. A serious contributor. The other kid, it's a freshman from Philadelphia, was one of the top players in the country last year. And, they really could use him with Dunn's absence right now. So.
And so that, was that a big win against BC?
I mean, it's a good win. I think it wasn't an upset.
Okay.
It was not an upset. Providence is expected to do decently this year, but with the injury to the kid Dunn, nobody really knows how well they can do.
Fred, I got to live Andy's childhood dream of sitting next to the great John Rook courtside and engineering the radio
show.
Did
he say peanut butter and jelly?
I was listening. Yeah. I
didn't see it because I saw John.
Yeah, I was
no wonder it sounded like crap on my radio.
But anyway.
I was actually looking for the game and didn't know where it was.
It was on Fox Sports 1.
I know that
Fox
now.
Sports 1.
I've been
informed
now.
Because they get the Big East, right?
Yes, that's correct. All the Big East games are on Fox Sports 1 or Fox Sports 2 for the most part.
But Andy, I didn't get one peanut butter and jam, I don't think.
No, we didn't have any breakaways. A peanut butter and jam is a breakaway.
No,
that's
I
when
know.
You know when the
oh,
guy's going up for the dunk. And sometimes, if it's a guard, you have to hedge your bet because sometimes a guard will actually lay it in and not go over the stuff. If it's a big guy.
Peanut butter and finger roll.
Yeah, exactly. See? In fact, I remember I got caught in mid-call, wanted to go up for peanut butter and jam, and the kid did finger roll it in. I said peanut butter and fluff.
Good. That's good. I like
good
that.
Ad, thank you. Good ad
that
lib.
Is yeah, very
thank
good.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Good ad lib.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I thought
see,
so
you just say peanut butter and you then you change
and then
way.
Fluff. Yeah,
whatever way you need to go.
He fluffed it.
And if he goes for the finger roll and he misses it, and you say like crust or something.
About peanut butter and crap.
Yeah.
But Paul, John's partner, Joe Hassett, just like Tommy Heinsohn, will take the headset off, put it down to yell at the official.
I know Joe Hassett.
And you can still hear him yelling at the official
it's
on
true.
The air.
It's true.
While John's trying to call the game.
He's yelling at Ed Corbett, who is a Final Four official, right? Calling the national championship game a year ago, right? And Ed Corbett, we've known Ed for 25 years. And so Ed comes over. In fact, he came over at halftime. And he saw me looking at the box score. And so Ed comes over and he goes, how many fouls did we call? And I said, 20. He goes, could have called 10 more. I'm like, oh, my God, this is going to be a rough second half. Sure enough, Kevin, what did Joe do? In a couple of calls, Joe's taking off the headsets. You know, you have to almost pot down the sound, right, to keep him from yelling. Because he's like,
hear
Ed, that was a bleeping bleep call.
He said he swears?
Oh, yeah.
No, that's not
good. It seemed quiet, though, for
I think
such
we had 45
game.
Fouls in the game. It was ridiculous.
No, there were 55 fouls.
Oh, that was probably going into overtime.
55, yeah. 55
a two-hour
fouls.
A basketball game
everybody
took
was
almost,
fouling
it
out. Yeah.
It almost took 3 hours.
It's just because the rules have changed.
But it seemed like it was a quiet crowd for such a close game.
I thought that the crowd had a hard time getting into it, too, to be honest with you. I don't know why that was. We had a great crowd. It was over 11,000 there.
Well,
so it was a great crowd.
The game had little flow to it, Fred.
It did.
That was part of it.
It was a whistle every 10 seconds.
I know.
That's
so.
Part of it.
I think in college basketball particularly, they need to forget these five timeouts, three timeouts a half, period.
Well you know, you have the media timeouts
right.
already.
They only have five for a game.
Oh,
right.
Five for a game?
It's five for a game.
Well, then they... I don't know.
But you have all the TV timeouts.
So, yeah, but he's asking for more for a game.
But I'm saying three and a half because they save them all for the second half. And
well, you can only use four.
You can carry four over to the second half.
You get five, and if you don't use one in the first half, you lose one. So you only have four for the second half.
Correct.
The end, it's too much stop.
The media timeouts are too much. They have one every 4 minutes. They should only have three, I think, instead of four.
I wouldn't disagree with that.
I think the media timeouts ruin flow.
Yeah, they do, but you got to pay the bills, brother. You know.
Yeah, I know.
That's part of it. So, I don't think it would hurt a lot if you only had three mandatories that you had to take for media as opposed to, or gave the teams three because they get the four media timeouts anyway. So
it does
help with flow.
I caught the BC game. Well, I didn't stay for the whole thing, but against UMass on Sunday, and they were not very impressive, BC.
You know, I think that I talked to Steve Donahue, their coach, after the game was over because we spoke. I asked him briefly about our mutual friend Dick Kelly at Boston College, who's suffering with ALS.
Dick was my SID at BU.
At BU, right? Yeah, he's what a great person, and it's just an insidious disease. Mm-hmm. But we were talking, making small talk about it. And I said, look, not for nothing, but you know, good luck. I think that you'll have a pretty decent team. You win your share of games. And frankly, I was a little surprised that UMass beat them, but you have to realize that it's early in the year. The kids probably aren't quite up to snuff, and they had a 48-hour turnaround between games after going to overtime with Providence and then having to go and play UMass like that. That was a pretty tough chore, I think, for BC.
I was surprised they throttled them. I thought that UMass probably would win, but I didn't think they would win easily.
I think BC will win their fair share of games. I don't know that they're probably a 500 team again, but I think they'll manage to win their fair share of games. They'll make it miserable for somebody.
All right, well, that's it for PFW in progress.
College basketball talk.
Right. Yeah, college basketball talk is over. We'll talk football.
John Rook is up next with the playbook, then fantasy football champs at 4 o'clock. We'll see you tomorrow. Why you wanna tell me how to live my life? Who are you to tell me if it's black or white? Mama came to hear me try to
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.